Fourth Ward are present. Therefore, this meeting is called to order. Item 2 on the agenda is to approve the Committee of the Whole minutes from March 15, 2010, March 29, 2010, and April
12, 2010.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Brown, seconded by Mr. Marx to approve item 2. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Great. I have 2 items of business, and then I'm going to ask the committee for their support of moving an item forward on the agenda. But first and foremost, item 3A is to recognize Geneva High School Television Studio for their extraordinary finishes at a recent state competition. I'd like to turn the floor over to, I believe, is Cheryl Klein here? I saw her earlier. Cheryl, if you'd like to join us. It's actually Cheryl Klein Weintraub. My apologies. But Cheryl knows these. Look at that. For the record, she has multiple personalities.
I have multiple personalities.
We'd like to welcome Sybil to the podium.
That's my avatar.
Cheryl, you're no stranger to these chambers, so
we welcome you back. Thank you very much. And this is not just for the TV studio. This is for several different departments at Geneva High School. That's okay. And as I guess, do you want me to call their name, or how do you want?
Yeah, I think we should meet all these folks, because I've got a cheat sheet up here as to who placed where.
Do you want to do it?
But sure. Now, you guys, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to come forward when I introduce you, okay? And I'm going to do my best not to. What's the word?
Massacre
anyone's names. Okay. We also. I don't know if we have Mrs. Grissinger with us tonight. Oh, there she is. Mrs. Grissinger, welcome. You guys all know Mrs. Grissinger from the art program as well. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Jankovic. Ah, the first time here.
It's called to the front of the room.
Where is Naperville?
You know, it's the Geneva wannabe, right?
Hey, I like the way you think. You send our love back to Mayor Pradel.
All right, I will.
I don't know how that guy gets elected every time. Now, these three young ladies were the advisors for 14 students who were in attendance at the Skills USA Conference, April 15th to 17th, in beautiful yet overrated Springfield, Illinois. These students include, and I'm going to read off how they placed at their competition, if that's okay. And if I have something incorrect, please correct me. I know Cheryl will. Advertising design. We all know this guy because he's done a lot of work through the internet as well. He is the incomparable Kevin Brulette. Kevin, come on up, man. Now, Kevin, my cheat sheet says you took 10th place. How many kids were participating in this? Don't say 8. Fantastic. Congratulations. And what year in school are you?
I'm a sophomore.
Kevin is a sophomore. Awesome. Are you dating anyone?
No.
His daughter.
Yeah, that's all I'm
are you?
Looking for. I'm not dating a Burns girl, and you're safe. Okay. He doesn't ask the girls that. He's just checking.
Now, it should be known that Kevin also serves on the City of Geneva's employee communications team, correct? Yeah. Social media, forgive me. Kevin, don't ever correct me. We will take that ribbon right off your neck.
And Mayor Heath's also the IT committee for the Paul Ruby Foundation.
Oh, wow. You're a busy guy, man. The heck with school.
I also served for the Geneva Film Festival.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was awesome. Congratulations, Kev.
Thanks.
You're on TV, dude. Morgan O'Brien. And Morgan, come to the podium first so we can hear you. Come to the podium first. I want to ask you a few questions.
Oh.
And what year in school are you?
I'm a senior.
A senior. And what are you doing next year?
I'm going to Kendall College.
Are you? What are you going to study?
I'm going to be studying the culinary program there.
Which explains why you took third place in the commercial baking.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I said commercial banking at first. I thought, yes. What, do you work for AIG, for God's sake? It's like, Well, that's pretty cool.
Baking.
So you want to be a chef?
Yes.
Ideally. Mm-hmm. Do you want to open your own restaurant someday?
My dream is to open my own bakery.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you've got some vacancies downtown if you want to. Some people here have, you know, pretty good deals on rent.
Yeah.
Dave Batzel. Yeah, that's good stuff. So, well, congratulations
to
you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Now, this champion makes me nervous, and I'm certain makes Mr. Piper nervous. Well, I should just introduce Larissa Rumack. Larissa took first place. You are a state champion.
I am.
In extemporaneous speaking.
Yes, sir.
Would you care to elaborate?
Extemporaneous. Extemporaneous speaking is a category in which you're given a question, usually politically driven, but for Skills USA it has something to do with the foundation itself. So you're giving a question, 5 minutes to prepare and gather your thoughts, and then expected to give a 5-minute speech about whatever you feel.
No kidding. That's pretty cool. Anybody have any questions for Larissa?
Do we have to give her time limit?
No.
Yeah.
I've worked with her before.
Yeah.
And what year in school are you?
I'm a senior this year.
And next year your plans are?
To go to Brock University.
Where's Brock University?
Brock University is located in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada.
No kidding. Are you Canadian?
I am.
That's right. You and I have met before.
We have, indeed.
Well, in the spirit... In the spirit of that, is the Canadian health system...
The puck drops at 8.
Who said, oh, God? That was you.
Hey, stick around. We're going to find out what it's all about.
That is very cool. And how many other students participated in that competition?
There were 14 other students who competed at a regional and sectional level.
And you know you're doing well when the judges just say, oh, God, enough? Or
yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Actually, they're not allowed to give any feedback when you're in the room itself. No nods,
like
no smiles, just blank faces.
Really?
Yes.
From.
Like a school board meeting.
Yeah. Kind of.
This is televised, isn't it? That is very cool. And what do you hope to study at Brock College?
Honors political science.
Oh, boy.
That sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? And what do you hope to do with that?
Humanitarian aid or campaign management.
Almost the same thing.
You might want to call Alexi Genulius. He needs both. Okay, sorry again. I apologize. Well, congratulations. That is so cool.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Alex Jenkins. Where's Alex? All right. Come on up, big guy. Now, it says here you're a CAD. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the competition. CAD.
Yes.
That was a joke, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Well, you're
not
in school.
Not as your brother.
What? Are we, sorry?
Oh.
What about my brother?
Oh, boy.
What about my brother, Alex?
I said you must not be as funny as your brother, then.
What year in school are you, Alex?
Senior.
That was prom date.
And do you want to repeat your senior year? Do you currently have my brother as a teacher?
Yes, I do.
And when's your project for him due?
He has not signed it yet.
Might want to check your email tonight.
All right, I will do.
I'm sure he's not going to be fond of that shirt you're wearing, but that's fine. Okay, tell us all about this computer-aided design, and what the heck did you do?
My computer-aided design was they gave me a problem, pretty much just lists of parts that they wanted to be redesigned and assembled into, I think it was a trash can cart.
Wow.
Very exciting.
I can tell by your face you were riveted.
Definitely.
It was challenging, though.
Yes, very.
And you had how much time to submit this project?
3 hours.
Oh, really? And you were judged while doing it, or just judged after the fact? After the fact. And what do you hope to do when you go to college next year? Where are you going to school?
Waubonsie.
And then you want to study there for a couple of years, then off to, where do you think?
Probably Western Michigan.
Oh, yeah? Do they have a big CAD program kind of
thing?
They
do.
Do they? Cool, man. Do you know Larissa?
She's my girlfriend.
Ooh.
That's why he's so quiet.
I was going to say, do you ever get a word in edgewise? It's like, hi, Larissa, you want to go to yes? Okay. We'll go to yes. So you guys going to, you know, prom?
Yes.
No kidding. How did you ask her? Did you draw a picture?
No, I did not.
Well, look. Hey, Larissa, I've always said you could do much better than him, but I want to hear the answer.
She'll speak for a moment.
I printed off a current event and then something to do with what she helps teach with Miss Dutzo's. The.
Wow. Are you nervous, Alex?
A little.
I don't know why you've got such a bleak future. You should be very proud.
I printed off a current event, and then in the middle of the event, I asked, will you go to prom with me? And when she read it, I walked in with the roses.
Aww. That's disgusting. This has happened at school or at home? Or
at school.
At school. That's pretty. So you're allowed to bring flowers into school?
I don't know, but I did.
I tried to bring flowers to my daughter, Grace, who turned 18 last week, and the school wouldn't let me in. That's a true story.
Not because of the flowers.
Well, they look like flowers. Well, Alex, congratulations, dude.
Thank you. Good luck
next year. Good luck at prom. If you want to hold her hand, Alex, go ahead. You look cute with the red cheeks. Television video production. We all know the quality that our GTV students and staff provide and present day in and day out. Alex, I'm sorry, wrong Alex. We have a bunch of kids, a gaggle of students who took anywhere from first through fifth place. Our first place finishers include, should I introduce them together, Cheryl, or separately?
No, that's fine.
We'll bring them together so you guys have moral support. Taking first place, Alex Johnson and Lou Foglia. How's it going, Lou?
Pretty good.
Have you learned how to play golf yet?
No, not
Still
yet.
Still want to go out?
Yeah.
You know what we do? We sneak on Geneva Golf Club. Just nobody knows.
On TV.
That's true. And then we pay after we play. So you looking good in that suit, man.
Thanks.
A lot better than Larissa's boyfriend. So tell us about what you guys did to earn this championship trophy.
We were given the task to make a one-minute video about Skills USA using the prom Champions at Work, which is Skills' slogan. And that's basically it.
We had 6 hours.
6 hours to make a one-minute video.
Yeah.
So a lot of takes.
Yeah. And some arguing.
And who appeared on the video?
It was me.
You did. Why did he appear and not you?
Is that the arguing?
Yeah. Alex is really great at camera and things like that.
And Lou's the speaker.
The writer.
Yeah.
So we make a good
Lou's the pretty boy? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm not answering.
And what year in school, gentlemen?
I'm a senior.
And I'm a sophomore.
Dude, man, the underclassmen got the camera time?
I've never been on camera, so I don't really care.
You are tonight. Who are you waving to, your parole officer? So next year for you, big guy, where are you going to school?
I'm going to Western Illinois University.
The Leathernecks. And what do you want to study?
I'm going to study accounting and film.
Accounting and film?
Become a producer.
Is that right? What kind of producer? Documentaries, action films?
Any kind of films, really. Okay. But I like action comedy the best.
Action comedy? Stick around for tonight's budget meeting. So you want to head out to Hollywood sooner or later?
Here they
come.
They saw me wave.
That wasn't a wave. That's cool, man.
Where's the video?
Yeah, you guys should have brought the piece of art. On second thought, the heck with it. Lou, next year, what do you want to do? It's a trick question.
Well, I do want to continue.
Good answer.
Of course.
You want to be a junior?
Yeah.
That's good. And are any of you guys, what are you guys doing on May 1st? Anything special?
Prom.
What?
Is it prom May 1st?
Well, that was my sensitive way of asking you. Are you heading to that big dance? Yeah? With friends? You got a date?
I'm going with Larissa.
I should see. Be on the other side of campus.
Those Canadians. God. And Lou, you're not old enough yet.
What?
You're not old enough yet unless an upper class woman asked you, correct?
I wasn't invited, so. Okay.
Not worth it, man. Ask my brother. That's true. He did not go to prom.
I know. He tells us multiple times.
I'm sure he does.
But he was elected.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Well, congratulations, state champions. We're very proud of you.
Thank you.
Wow. Check this out, folks. Taking second place, Alex Daly and Alex Elbin.
And Trevor.
Oops, and Trevor Deem. Sorry about that, Trevor. Three amigos. Okay, which one of you are wearing a clip-on tie?
No, I just say.
No, it's real.
Is it Alex, Trevor?
Yep.
Okay, Alex, tell us a little about this project.
Me, Alex, or him, Alex?
Whoever's more articulate.
This is my first time on camera, so cut me some slack.
Let me get your last name.
Elbon.
Yeah, I've got it.
It's mostly about... do you want to take it? Because I'm not good at it.
Are you just asking about what the event was? Or?
Yeah, you guys took second place. Was it a minute video?
Yeah, it was the exact same thing as what Alex and Luke did, and we just did worse than them.
No, not at all. The fact that you guys competed is pretty cool. It's got to be tough to put your product up there for judging.
Yeah, it was. Our project was a little different. We didn't have anyone on camera. Ours was more of a following through the other students as they did what they did.
Oh, is that
we
right?
About the automotive service industry.
So really a documentary of sorts.
Kind of.
Was there a narration involved?
Yeah.
He was the narration.
You have a nice voice for that.
Sure. Thank you.
You have a great face for radio, too. Trevor, what was your role, dude?
I was the alternate, which meant if either of them got sick, I stepped in. So I did nothing and got all the credit.
Is that...
Kind of like the
That's
mayor.
True.
Did you hear what Alderman Vogelsberg said?
No, what did she say?
Kind of like the mayor. That's nice. Microphones are off. So, gentlemen, you're in school, Alex?
Yeah, I'm a senior.
And your plans next year?
I'm planning going to Waubonsie.
Fantastic. What do you hope to study?
I'm hopefully going to go into cinematography and
really?
Proceed with the whole TV thing. So.
That's cool. So you want television, not necessarily film?
Actually, I prefer to go into film. I like doing like small documentaries like what we did at Skills. So.
That's awesome, man. And Alex?
I'm going to ECC for 2 years and then hopefully going to Flashpoint.
Oh, really? Downtown?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that connected with Columbia or no? Or am I not thinking
of it? It's like Columbia, but it's like more tech.
Oh, cool.
So
that's really cool. So you're one of those smart guys too, right?
No. I'm just an average guy going to an average school.
He's humble.
Trevor, how about you, man?
I'm a sophomore, so.
I don't really care. I just asked you what you're doing.
I don't know. My only plan is to get my Eagle Scout during the summer. That's the only big thing.
No kidding. Eagle Scout, what's your project going to be? Being an alternate?
That's the problem.
Well, we got some ideas for you here, man. Mm. You know John Treweiler, probably.
No.
Yeah, he's a bum.
I do.
Do you know him? Yeah. Well, stick around. We'll tell you some projects he can help even the city with. Get your Eagle Scout. $20, I'll give it to you now. Are those things still rolling, the cameras, by any chance? I feel like Betty Maltese. Gentlemen, congratulations to you. Yeah, that'd be good. Just stand right in front of me. That'd be awesome.
That was our $20.
Over this way, bye.
Taking fourth place in the television video production competition, Haley Kuntz, Brandon Prosek.
They're not here tonight.
Thank God. And why aren't they here tonight?
Previous engagements.
Looking for prom dates. Oh, that was mean. Alderman Vogelsberg. Fifth place. Television video production. Please welcome Kit Willidson. Kit. And Anton, is it Malavani? Malavani. The Excellent Adventures of Anton and Kit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's who?
I'm Kit.
Kit, how are you, man?
Doing good.
What's Kit short for?
Christopher.
No kidding. And who gave you the nickname Kit?
My mom's girlfriend.
No kidding.
She studied a lot of Anglophile stuff, and Kit was a diminutive Christopher. Dad's name is Christopher. Mom says Christopher. Two answers, so Kit.
I'm exhausted from the explanation. That's cool, man. That's really cool. And Anton, is Anton short for anything, or...?
No.
Your response belies the...
I don't want to make it too complicated.
Thank you for dumbing it down for me. I appreciate that. So, gentlemen, what year in school? It's like you guys are like the Smothers Brothers, man. It's like... Or those two Muppets up on the stage.
I'm a junior and...
Senior.
And Anton, what are you doing next year, man?
Stuff.
A lot of lead-based paint in your house, Anton? Is there a lot of, like, what do you hope to do, man?
I'm looking at a couple of schools. I'm not really decided yet.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to still study film?
And yeah, definitely. I'm looking at Flashpoint, Columbia.
Oh, really?
Waubonsie.
You guys look the part, don't they?
I don't even know.
That's awesome, man. Cool stuff.
Hollywood look.
And Kit, you want to be a senior next year, huh?
I want to be a senior next year. That'd be great.
I'm digging the glasses, man.
Thank you.
Are those cool? And what about May 1st? Anybody have plans?
No.
No.
And you you guys are like really...
I was kidding.
I wasn't, so...
Okay, Anton. What are your plans?
There's this thing going on.
Are you going to this thing?
Small event.
Are you?
Yeah.
Who are you going with?
This girl.
Don't say Larissa either. A Geneva girl or someone
yeah,
from...
Stephanie. Yeah, Stephanie.
Stephanie. Yeah. Stephanie who?
Bellon.
Pardon me?
Bellon, my girlfriend.
Yeah, your enthusiasm is just infectious. It's like...
I'm just exhausted from all this publicity. It's overwhelming.
Now, your video was a one-minute video.
Yes. Yeah, we were the fifth runner-up to first.
So if all these people die, you take over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who were any of you on film?
He has the magic hands for cinematography. I did the stand-up. And, yeah, we were really proud of the video.
I bet you are. Can we view these videos, like, on the high school website or something if we chose to?
I can get you a copy of
them. I'd be awesome. I'd love to see it. Yeah. I'd love to hear how Anton just speaks through it. He's just a commanding. It's extraordinary.
That's how I do.
Any questions for us?
No.
Congratulations, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, would you yield the floor for a moment?
Sure, show off. Go ahead.
I wanted to say on behalf of all of us who competed, it was amazing to be able to go down to Springfield. And without Geneva High School and also our wonderful advisors, we wouldn't have been able to go. And Nationals is such an honor to be able to compete at Lou Foglia, Alex Johnson, myself, and Kevin is also going down to Kansas City, Missouri this summer. And... without the help of the city and also the private citizens that live in Geneva, we won't be able to go. So we will be doing some fundraising. We are also looking for sponsors. So any contributions will be greatly more than appreciated. And it is just such an honor to compete, not only in Geneva High School's name and Geneva City, but also for the state of Illinois. It's a great honor, and we're just so pleased to be able to go.
Oh, I got a tear in my eye. I'll say.
Thank you.
So you guys are looking for contributions, and how do we make a contribution if we are so inclined?
You can talk to Mrs. Weintraub about that.
Okay. Cool.
Your wallet?
You've never
you
seen
can
his
just
wallet.
Cut us a check.
You ever see dust go poof? You're only a sophomore, man. Wait a couple years, then you can be a smart, you know what? Okay. Wait till you have my brother in class. I will be happy to make a gift from Batavia's funds. Seriously.
Thank you very much.
Whatever you
greatly
need, you just
appreciate
let me know.
It. All right, I will.
We'll tell Shilke.
Okay.
Now, is Liz Dubsky here?
She was not able to join us today.
I want to make sure I didn't miss her. So.
Okay. She will be competing next year, I believe. Yes.
Anything else? Any questions from the council for these students, our champions and otherwise? And it's pretty cool stuff, man.
Thank you.
It really is. Yeah. So please let us know.
Yes.
Mrs. Weintraub can send us an email, and we can help broadcast the fact that you're looking for monies. So,
yes.
And just out of curiosity, four kids heading to Kansas City, mm-hmm. What's the approximate cost?
About $2,000.
How much?
About $2,000.
Total?
Yes.
Oh, that's nothing. God. You sold your suit, you get like $50. Kevin Brulette, where's Kevin? Kevin, dude, I understand that you have been awarded the Presidential Service Award.
Yeah, that's correct.
From Skills USA. What's the Presidential Service Award?
Well, to qualify, you have to apply, first of all, and get letters of recommendation from one letter of recommendation overall, and then letters of recommendation recommending you from each of the organizations that you volunteered for. Mm-hmm. And
well, what are some of those organizations?
Let's see. I'd say
there's so many.
Geneva Film Festival, Paul Ruby Foundation, Geneva History Center. Oh, let me think. It's City of Geneva.
So where do you find time to do
Academic
your work?
Geneva Foundation.
You just love to volunteer, don't you?
Yeah, I like to volunteer.
That's cool. And who wrote your letter of recommendation?
I got one from Stephanie Dawkins, and I also got one from Terry Emma.
Cool, man. That's good stuff. And what sort of award did you receive as the presidential award recipient? Was it like healthcare?
No.
Bailout?
What you get is there's three levels. There's a level of 150 hours to qualify for bronze. Second is 150 to, I believe, like 249. And then 250 and above is gold level. I got over 300 volunteer hours for a consecutive year, so I qualify for the gold level.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Are you going to prom with Larissa?
No.
No? You could take him, man. That guy's... shirts from the 1970s, for God's sake. You could take him. All of you represent the city of Geneva extraordinarily well. We're proud of each and every one of you. We thank you very much for, again, representing our community as well as you do, and we wish you all luck, whether you be a junior or senior or whether you're off to college next year. So congratulations and thank you.
Good job, Kevin. You so deserve that.
And if you guys need to sneak out, by all means, feel free to do so. But we've got just a couple more things, and we're going to jump into business. So it's going to be very, very exciting. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for allowing me to tease you a little bit.
Can we have them close our budget meeting next year?
Yeah, that'd be great.
So uplifting.
I just want Anton to speak. The guy's just extraordinary. Item 3B, ladies and gentlemen, presentation by Geneva High School student government members. We have the presentation being given tonight by Nicole Weber. Nicole is soloing it tonight.
I am.
Nicole, welcome back. For the record, please state your name.
Okay. I'm Nicole Weber, and I am a junior at Geneva High School and the junior leader of the student government program. My senior leader, Garrett Lance, has abandoned me tonight to go judge the faculty fight night. So I just want to put that on the record.
Faculty,
stuck it out.
Faculty fight night?
Yes.
Is this like Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
It's like Mr. GHS, which Student Council ran last week for the faculty. They decided to subject themselves to humiliation to be voted on by students, and Garrett is a judge for that tonight.
That's cool.
So.
That's cool.
Yes.
The floor is all yours, Nicole.
Okay. Just to talk a little bit about what we did tonight, we had the typical spring session of the student government program. As most of you remember, in the fall, we did the city shadow portion of it, and many of us got to shadow a lot of people who work for the city, Mrs. McKittrick and some others. And this portion, we decided on a topic, and we got to have a mock city council meeting, which we had at 5:30. And this year, we decided to discuss the issue of whether Geneva should invest in renewable energy sources at any cost, not necessarily a specific branch of renewable energy, because I know there's some different projects that are up for consideration, and we didn't really have enough time to talk about all of those different ones, so we thought just in a broad sense we could discuss it, and it was a vote of 7-3 in favor of researching and looking into these different sources of renewable energy. So the students thought it would be a good idea in the interest of the city of Geneva to start looking into ways that we could participate in the movement to go more environmentally friendly, just to preserve the things that we like in Geneva, how beautiful it is and what a great city it is. So we thought that that would be the best course of action.
And were you representing one of the alder people?
Yes, I was an alderman this year.
And how did you vote?
I voted for it. I think there are a lot of ways that we could help, and I know a lot of the other committees in the city of Geneva are trying to work on ways to do this. I know the NRC, which is a subcommittee of SPAC, also had a Earth Day event this past week on Saturday, and so I know there's a lot of people in Geneva, and there's the Green Coalition, is that by
the Green Team?
The Geneva, right. And there's a lot of citizens in Geneva who are very environmentally conscious and would like to see things like this happen in even our small town. So we thought, I personally agree, and I think that it's something we should definitely look into for the future.
So the vote of 7-3 was to encourage additional research and
yes.
review of alternative energy sources.
Yes.
And who in the audience voted no? Do you want to explain your vote? Come on up and introduce ourselves to you. And
my name is Carrie Mannion, and I am a junior at Geneva High School.
And you voted no on this.
Yes.
Because why?
I am not opposed to alternative energy sources. I just don't think we should do it at any cost.
Atta girl.
I think we need a limit.
And that was the main opposition to
the at any cost was
yes.
really the key
yeah.
language. So
yes.
okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So
wow, was that pretty much the predominant wisdom of those who voted against?
Yeah.
So yeah. interesting.
And we understand. All of us were talking about it afterwards, and we understand that there are a lot of financial issues that the city has to look into, and a lot of people. Everyone understands that and respects that, and we just think it's worth looking into. What we can do and how much it would cost us and if we can make it work for the city of Geneva to invest in these things. So,
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyone else participating who has voted aye or nay and why? By all means, sure.
All those guys, too. Come on.
So we're going to introduce you.
And believe it or not, Larissa had quite a few persuasive
There's
arguments.
A five-minute time limit on this, right?
Yeah. I thought you left.
You would hope, Alderman Piper. I was in favor for persuading the city of Geneva to invest in this new, we specifically spoke about wind energy, a plant that was north of Rochelle, I believe. And while we did share some financial concerns, as Carrie said, I think it would be a positive thing to move forward and really set an example for what we can do as far as our new energy sources that are becoming available to us. Not only that, but if we do start investing in wind energy, I believe that it will persuade the average citizens to be more aware of how they're using their energy, whether it's because there was a very slight cost increase or just because in general that this is something that we're all aware of. There's many ways that we can each contribute to becoming more green, and I think that the city doing it as a whole is just one more way that we can forward the green movement.
May I put you on the spot?
Of course.
What do you do personally to advance the green movement?
Take shorter showers, recycle, be careful about driving, drive fuel-efficient cars and or carpool, whether it's to school or just with friends in general, and just be aware. I mean, it's as simple as when you walk out of a room and you're the last one there, turn off the lights. It's really as simple as that. And there are so many incentives, financial incentives that our federal government is giving us as far as the things that we do, whether it be like solar energy or just converting different things in our house, using different light bulbs, that we can all be aware of. And it's really simple to do.
And you came here tonight with who? Drive here by yourself?
I did, actually. I was on my way from my internship.
Melissa, how many miles a gallon does your car get?
About 30.
Not bad?
Yeah.
Not bad. Nicole, do you want to add to this?
About what I do personally? Or about...
Do you want to refute everything Larissa just said? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But you voted in favor of it. Do you think it's important that we take small steps as individuals prior to asking government to take those big steps for us?
Well, yeah, and I think it is very much as much of an individual movement as it is a government movement as well. I think it's going to take a lot of cooperation per person and per city and per state and per guy. I mean, it all starts very small, and I mean, that's how a lot of these things do start. And our city looking into these things is another way where we can start small, and hopefully it projects onto the bigger United States as a whole. And it's... Like Larissa said, there's so many simple ways that people can do it, and that's what a lot of people are trying to let, you know, just spread awareness, I guess, through simple things like turning off your lights, trying to take shorter showers, trying to do things like that that conserve. I know you guys are talking about water is an issue coming up soon, and, you know, if you're taking a shorter shower, using less water, it's going to cost everyone less money, and it's...
A way to bring that up.
Yeah, can we go back to electricity?
Rain on his parade.
Katie, how about you? Do you agree with these?
Carrie,
excuse me. Do you agree with these comments?
I do. I think if everybody... I think we just need to find cheaper ways that we can do it without having to spend huge sums of money, because with the economy the way it is now, people just can't afford it.
Come on.
There's this. Go ahead.
Yeah, come on, Maureen.
Oh, boy.
And as we did point out in the student government meeting, one of the things that was up, the wind energy, by information given to us by the city staff, Mike Buffington, and some other people that worked on that with him, some of the prices that they figured per person in Geneva, how this would affect your taxes, was a lot lower than I think a lot of people would think. Yeah. And so I think those are things that people really need to become aware about and really know what they're deciding on before they make that decision. Because I think a lot of people think that this is going to be a really expensive thing to do, and it will be a cost. No one's saying that it won't be expensive to invest in these energies. But hopefully as more people invest in them, it will get cheaper as well. And that's the whole point, is that if we start doing this, maybe other cities will start doing this, and then it'll become cheaper for everyone. So.
I think this young lady to your left has a comment to add. And your name again?
Maureen Levy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I'm a sophomore currently at Geneva High School. Well, I was just going to say basically what Nicole said, and that we figured out that it would cost about $14 a year per person to invest in this wind farm. And so I understand that, you know, our economy is not good right now, and people are trying to save as much as they can. But ultimately, at what cost do you, long term, we need to save our earth and be worried about that, and that's especially a problem that is affecting our current generation. And so I think that, like Nicole said, as the cost gets lower and lower especially, we should work towards making a better environment for ourselves and for the people of the above generation, you all, and for the next...
Above generation.
I don't know what else to say.
not the older generation. I didn't want to say that. I was trying to be nice. And the next generations to come too. Like, we want to sustain our Earth, and this is a good, cost efficient, currently way to do it.
Well, Ms. Levy, let me ask you. You voted yes.
Yes.
I presume. Do you feel that the older generation?
I didn't say that though. Originally, that's why I said
the above generation. The above generation.
The above generation. Yeah, because I'm 32.
Your current generation. Yes. Okay.
So the above generation, has the above generation, at some level, handed your generation a bigger problem because we've failed to act, in your opinion?
I don't think that it's your fault that our current situation. I think that we're more educated on the situation because it is affecting us more now that, and you guys weren't educated when you were our age. Well, I mean educated, not educated in general, but educated on this current, like, the situation
of
your
Earth. If I was there, I'd sit down.
I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, you know what I meant.
We're so old, smoking was cool when we were teenagers, okay?
I meant that you weren't educated on ways to be green, so to speak, and to save the planet and this kind of thing as much as we are, and that we were always taught from, you know, kindergarten on, reduce, reuse, recycle, all these kinds of things. So,
and who taught you that?
Mrs. Arbizani, my kindergarten teacher at Harrison.
Yeah, because I went to Geneva High School, and granted, you got a gooder education than I did, but... Would you like to continue?
No, that was good.
I think just shorten it, we're a bunch of morons, and that's what it goes on. Mr. Pollack.
Well, thanks, Mary. I just wanted to thank you guys for taking up this subject because in the long term, it's you guys who are ultimately the stewards of our planet, and it's nice to see that you're environmentally conscious. In 1972, there was a federal act called Clean Land, Air, and Water. Yeah, that's kind of when it all started, and taking it to the next level is a socially responsible activity that I'm glad to see you're taking seriously. So thanks.
We just wanted to recognize everyone who participated in the program. So I know you guys have that stuff if you want to do that.
We would love to.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask Ms. Dawkins to read the names of those to be recognized.
The microphone.
Yeah. Got the oil on it.
While the mayor's walking down, I'll recognize there were a couple individuals who participated this evening who couldn't be here tonight. As Nicole mentioned, Garrett Lance, Rachel Spitzig, and Patrick Fennessy, they all did participate, but they're not here with us this evening. Those who are here this evening, Kevin Brulette.
Kev.
Certificate of participation certifies that special 2010 student government program presented by the City of Geneva ordered this 26th day of April 2010 with the mayor's signature.
Isn't that cool?
Of course I am.
Jacob Challey.
So he's a reserve guy.
We're glad you're here. Thanks for being here.
Delaney Cummings.
Now, I just learned a secret about Delaney. Her and her father actually watched the city council meetings throughout the week. Right?
Yeah.
That's just brutal. Right. Yeah, anything you'd like to say?
Not that brutal. Exciting.
Wow. What role do you play today?
I think it's sitting staff.
That is brutal. Okay. You feel loved, or?
It was fun.
It's fun, right? Thank you.
Megan Gartner.
Oh, this year, Megan, I
Elliott.
Hockey games.
Okay. Yeah.
Maureen Levy.
Guess who gets to watch the puck drop? Megan Delaney.
Mom and Dad are here tonight. What generation are they for?
Yours.
They're not that old. They're not that old.
Carrie Mannion.
Are you, any of your family here tonight? Hey, all right. Are you brought your daughter's notebook?
Yeah.
You sound like Mrs. Dakota. An inside joke.
Larissa Rumack.
Friends, family here tonight? Anybody who hasn't heard you speak?
Well, I think everyone's heard me speak. No, like, friends,
here. Kevin, have you met her boyfriend? Could you stand up and just wave?
He had to.
Becca Spitzig.
Becca is the only freshman participating in this program.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Becca was playing the role of Alderman Vogelsberg.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Dangerous.
Did you stay awake the whole time?
She's not 21.
Does she talk with her hands?
Well, yes. Oh. Is it intimidating to have all the other classmen hanging up? Really?
That's fine.
Really? Not like all their books? I'm not her type, yes. Oh, my God. Is your mom dead down here? Where's Dad? Back in the corner? Mm-hmm. How are you doing, sir?
Good.
Nicole Weber.
Nicole.
Hey.
Who's here with you? Anybody today?
No.
Excellent.
What kind of car do you drive, Nicole?
Smart. One last, I think. Megan? No, we're
set. She's not here.
Ladies and gentlemen, these are our leaders in the future, and I trust that we're all in very good hands. So, thank you.
I would also like to take a moment to thank our sponsors, Terry, Emma, and Chris Buttle, for always great help, and our City Council Representative, Dawn Vogelsberg.
Well, thank you. I wanted to thank you, Ms. Dawkins, because you really, we've worked with these students a lot of years for student government, so they are great kids, but you did give them a lot of information. Because they really knew their facts to make their arguments. Yeah. So that was very good.
Yeah, and I wanted to personally thank, from all of us in student government, from all the students, Ms. Dawkins, Ms. Vogelsberg, Mrs. Buttle, and Ms. Emma, because, I mean, without them, we couldn't do it.
And I'd like to apologize for my part of the generation. My daughter did that thing where every day you measure the electricity, and on the days I was home, double the usage. So I use as much as the other four of them. That's right.
Well, you have a margarita machine, so.
I tell people I run that in the day.
Nice. Throw it up for the night.
Thank you all for indulging the council, these students. We appreciate it very much. As I stated earlier in the meeting, I'd like to move one item up to the top of the agenda, if you will. It is item E, which is to consider draft ordinance allowing for special use permit in the B4 business district to allow for the package sale of alcoholic beverages in the retail space located at 1144 East State Street.
Move approval.
Second. Motion by Hill, seconded by Singer. This matter is on the floor. We have both the applicant here this evening, and we know we have some other folks in the audience who wish to ask a few questions and perhaps speak to the issue as well. If there are any questions for the applicant, they are here in the front row with us. Anyone from the dais? It's fairly straightforward. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak to this issue? Mrs. Patel?
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Patel. Do I need to state my address? Or?
Sure, if you would.
Okay, sure. It's 2406 King James Avenue, St. Charles, Illinois. First, I'd like to say I've never had so much fun at a council meeting. It's been very entertaining. But I'm here specifically to speak about my store, which is Hammer's Eastside Liquor. It's located approximately 750 feet from the proposed store. We're very concerned because we feel that putting almost an identical store format with the same products, basically the same price in the same place, is certainly going to cannibalize our store. And we're worried it won't add any additional revenue for the city. Currently, our development has three vacant lots. If something were to happen to our store due to this, it's a very good possibility that our store could go out of business as well, leaving almost the entire development empty. We're concerned that maybe this space that is proposed for another liquor store wouldn't be better used with a different type of retail product, that something that's not already in the area. We've collected actually over 70 resident signatures saying that they don't want another liquor store in their area. These are our concerns with the proposal. That's about it.
Thank you, Mrs. Patel.
Thank you.
Are there any questions or comments for Mrs. Patel from the dais? Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to address this issue? Any questions or comments from the dais? We have a motion by Alderman Hill. We have a second by Alderman Singer to approve item 3E. Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Nay.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ray Pollack.
Aye.
Repeat that, please.
Aye.
Thank you. Robert Piper.
Nay.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
John Vogelsberg.
Aye.
According to my vote, the motion passes 7 affirmative votes, 2 negative votes. The motion does pass. This will be advanced to our city council meeting on May 3rd. Is that correct, Mayor? May 3rd? It will not be on the consent agenda. Oh, correction. Excuse me.
We have a special city council meeting.
Not for this item, though.
Not for this item.
Not for this item, yeah. So May 3rd. On May 3rd.
Okay.
This same council chamber, 7 p.m. Item 3C. Consider water and sewer rate alternative number D2 in water and sewer rate cost of service study and rate development study. I would like to entertain a motion to suspend the rules, if I may, on this matter.
To what?
So moved.
Motion to suspend the rules offered by Piper, seconded by
I'll second that.
Mr. Singer. We're going to, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? What we're going to do is do what we did last time. We're going to invite our consultant, Rempe Sharp, to join us for a presentation. Following that presentation, I'm going to ask our superintendent, Mr. Van Gescom, to provide information to all of us that some of you have asked him over the weekend and last week so that we can all benefit from those responses. And then we'll open it up to questions or comments for either Rempe Sharp and or Mr. Van Gescom. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, sir. Give me 1 second, please.
No problem. I have been advised that we should only refer to this gentleman as Timothy, not Mr. Grimm.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My name is, again, Timothy Grimm, and I'm with Rempe Sharp & Associates. Thank you for having me again. Here to present phase two of the water and sewer rate study. We had completed phase one, the cash flow report, several weeks back. This is phase two, the rate development portion of the study. Waterworks rates are developed utilizing a cost of service approach developed by American Waterworks Association, which by definition charges each class of customer in relation to the cost of serving that class. Excuse me. To achieve the cost of service analysis, we developed the rates in an 8-step approach. Step one of this methodology is to determine the amount of revenue to be derived from water rates for the study period. The total revenue derived from water rates came from the cash flow portion of the study. And you can see for each fiscal year, we've got a total revenue. We've got $4.4 million approximately for fiscal year 10-11, $4.5 million for 11-12, and then approximately $4.7 million for fiscal year 12-13. Step two is to allocate cash flow demands. That's shown in Table 2-2 of the report and also in Appendix AA. The first portion of that is to establish base costs and extra capacity costs. These costs are associated with meeting average water demands and demands in excess of average. Base costs would be those costs related to average load conditions. Average demand, max day demand, and max hour demands are more seasonal or vary from day to day. And also, we separated out customer service and billing costs. And those are costs associated with meter replacement, meter readings, and then also billing costs. Step three was then to project annual water sales and number of billings. This was also taken from the cash flow report. For each type of customer, we've got a number of bills from our base year, and then we project it out for each fiscal year. The total number of bills, which is the same, we projected no increase in development for each fiscal year, so we're projecting the same number of bills for each year of the study. Step four is to determine the units of service. We're breaking water use into base extra capacity max day and extra capacity max hour demands. That's shown in Table 2-4. And what you can see there is for each customer class and each fiscal year, a average cubic feet per day usage. And then also we've broken that down into we've got a capacity factor for each customer class and total capacity per day for each customer class. Step five is to calculate the cost per unit of service. Basically, we're taking the extra capacity and the base usage, and we've taken the cost that we've allocated for each type of use, maximum day, maximum hour, and we're dividing that by the units that we've calculated. So you've got cubic feet per day, and then we've got a unit cost for extra capacity and then also for the base. Step six is to distribute those costs to each customer class. That's shown in Table 2-8. And we've also broken down those costs into IEPA low interest and the remaining portion of the rate that's not due to debt service. Step seven is where we get into the actual block rate design. There are several tables that we've got shown in the report. This is the design of the rate schedule. We've got a meter water use condition curve, which is on the upper right-hand corner. And then from that, we developed each block rate, and that had been developed on previous water rate studies, and we've been using the same block rate for each study over the past several years. We also show in here, a service charge design. That's Table 2-9. And that's breaking down for each size of service the total costs that would be related for each size they're in, and then multiplying each size by a factor, an equivalent meter service ratio. And then lastly, in Table 2-11, we are taking that our rate design, our block rate design, and applying that to the expected usage that we see for each fiscal year, just to see how we are meeting the revenue requirements that we had originally established in the cash flow report. Then step eight is the final table that shows our actual block rates for each fiscal year, and then comparing those rates to the previous or current water rates. Table 212 is basically the summary table that shows what we would recommend for rate alternative D2, a waterworks rate schedule that will meet the revenue requirements. For fiscal year 10-11, we're looking at for the first 1,500 cubic feet at $3.83, the next 18,500 cubic feet, $3.53, and then $3.43 for over 20,000 cubic feet. And next to that is a column that shows an increase above the current rates that you have. We're seeing for the first block a 3.6% increase, and then a 1.8 and a 1.3% increase. And the reason that the lower block is showing a higher increase, rate increase, is because based on this study, we've seen a redistribution of consumption where there's less consumption in the higher use categories, which would be industrial, governmental, and commercial, and it's being redistributed into the residential. There's more usage in residential than there was before. So we're seeing that cost is now being seen more in the residential or first block rate. And then we are also showing the proposed meter or monthly service charges for each size of meter. And then we also have fiscal year 11-12 and 12-13 proposed rates. If you look as you go out in fiscal year 12-13, you can see that the rate increases have evened out for each size of or for each block rate. Sewer Works rate development. This is a little bit simpler type of rate. This is a uniform rate that we are not allocating costs for different levels of usage. It's basically a cross-the-board rate for all levels of usage. So step one for the Sewer Works rate development is to select the year and the total amount of revenue needed for each year. This is similar to the water rates in that we've got total required revenue for each fiscal year. Step two is to allocate cash flow demands, number one being base cost, two being customer costs, and C, industrial wastewater monitoring. Step three is to project annual sewer use volume and number of billings. This was taken also from the cash flow report, and it's slightly less volume than what is seen for water. Step four is rate development and design, and basically we're taking our base rate costs, our monthly service charges, and our industrial wastewater monitoring rate and dividing that by the total volume that we're expecting. And then step five is to compare our proposed rates with current rates. Table 3.5 shows what our proposed rates would be for sewer for each fiscal year. As you can see, also a greater increase in rate for, you can see a 10% increase that we're seeing from current rates to proposed rates in 10-11, and then for, let's see, that's under monthly service charge, let's see, 0% for the IEPA loan interest, and then, industrial is also seeing a 10% for IEPA loan interest. The monthly service charge that we're expecting for fiscal year 10-11 would be $1.30. up from 77 cents, and then we're looking at a non-industrial class user charge going up from 209 to 211, and then for industrial for fiscal year 10-11, we're looking at an increase from 318 to 325. Then for fiscal year 11-12, we're looking at the rate to increase from 211 to 217. For non-industrial, and then for industrial class, from 325 to 335. And then for 12-13, an increase from 211 to $2.23. And then also from fiscal year 11-12 to 12-13, an increase from 335 to 334. 344, excuse me. I'd like to open up the floor to any questions that you may have.
Yeah, Mr. Van Gescom, I know, would like to provide some information relative to questions that were asked of him by members of the council and others prior to opening up the floor. Do you need the overheads at all, Bob? Or do you want me to shine a light?
Yes, I do, please.
Okay. Yeah. For those of you watching at home, this is Mr. Bob Van Gescom. He is the superintendent of Water and Wastewater Division for the City of Geneva.
I received some questions in the past few days here that thought was important to address, not only for that individual's information, but also because I think maybe some of you folks also have some of the same questions. So thought it would be a good idea to just kind of share with everybody the answers to these, and maybe this brings up some other questions that you may have. The first question was, why are we showing a rate increase in both alternatives for the IEPA loan, which would be the principal and interest, and which is shown in tables 212 and 3-5 in both studies. The IEPA loan is fixed, already has a payment schedule for the life of the loan, and the changes that you see are how the costs for the loan are being paid back by the individual customer and are part of the full study in which Rempe Sharp did. If we sell more water than is planned, does the additional amount of IEPA loan principal and interest that we collect go as a prepayment to the loan, or do we hold it in reserve? It's a common practice for us at this occasion to put it into reserves. In looking at Table 2-12 and Rate Trial D3, we only show a rate increase in fiscal year 11 and 12, and why didn't we spread this increase out over fiscal year 2011 and 2012 and 12-13 fiscal years? The rate increase for Alternative D3 has a much more significant increase in 11-12, and with that increase, we're able to meet the revenue requirements for fiscal year 12-13 without an additional rate increase. That's for water only. However, this is the minimum amount that we can increase the rates while still meeting the revenue requirements for 11-12. So based on the cash flow projections for fiscal year 10-11 and 11-12, they're critical years. While the minimum end-of-year balance has been met in fiscal year 10-11, the net increase in cash is projected to be about $349,000 in fiscal year 10-11 and $486,000 in 11-12. So if we decide to delay the rate increase until fiscal year 11-12, we really have to make up that reduction in cash in 11-12 with one large increase instead of a stepped increase for 2 years. In the end, both alternatives will meet the revenue requirements. It's just less of a hit in alternative D2. Question number four was, how many cubic feet of water do we have to sell in a year to break even with our current cost structure? Because of the cost structure and depending on our customers, we really can only estimate this based on average usage. Can't really determine this unless we project the usage for each customer base based on the meter size, and that's pretty tough to do. However, we can calculate the average billing under current rates and use the future revenue requirements to give a very rough estimate, and you can see those numbers underneath there. Question number five was, when looking at the sample bills in Appendix C for both studies, Delner Hospital shown as a governmental customer, do all medical facilities get charged governmental rates? The customer class is given by the when the accounts are first set up by Don Weiss, our finance director, really doesn't have, or it absolutely does not have any effect on their water billing rates. The water billing rates are the same for all customer classes. Does differ with industrial rates. So if it is classified under an industrial customer, those folks are charged a different sewer rate. Question number six was, it appears that the largest percentage increase is going to residential customers. This is because, and I think Tim explained this also in his slide, was it's because there's been a reduction in the amount of usage in the other customer classes. And that change percentage of usage gets reflected in the increases of rates for the lower block rate for those customers. If you want to promote conservation of water, should the rates increase for customers that use more water? A true conservation rate structure was not considered. And we've discussed that on some other occasions, but within our rate structure, the highest rate is paid first to encourage conservation. The reduction after 1,500 cubic feet is there not to punish the industrial or large consumers. Question number eight was, have we ever considered showing on our bills gallons used instead of cubic feet? For a lot of consumers, it is more common to calculate our consumption based on gallons. There's probably half of the United States does the billing in gallons, the other half does in cubic feet. That was published in through AWWA not too long ago in a conference that I attended. Unfortunately, to do this, our billing software does not allow this conversion from cubic feet to gallons. The conversion is taking the cubic feet and multiplying by 7.48. If a customer would like to do that, it is possible to put this calculation on the bill itself for those residents who are curious and want to just know in gallons what they're doing.
Just a footnote or something? Just in a footnote or something?
Correct. Correct. On the bill itself, yes. And then the other question was, why are we recommending the D2 increase instead of using the D3 alternative? And I'd like to explain that later. This next bit of information, which you all are familiar with, is the resolution that was adopted as a policy by the City Council, in that the fund balance of the city will strive to maintain an available fund balance of at least 90 days of operating expenditures for the general fund, electric fund, and the water and wastewater fund, and to meet seasonal cash flow shortfalls and funding emergencies. And I think all in all, we've done very well in the water and sewer fund to do that. It is our hope that we continue to do that. And in the very near future, it may need to increase because of our operating expenses based on the new water treatment facility. I just kind of want to skip through there. In front of you, Mary McKittrick went ahead and gave us our latest, which was presented to you in a packet. But this is our latest fund profit and loss through March of 2010. And as you can see, our revenues are significantly lacking, which was projected. The revenues of the sale of water currently, and what this is basically we've got 1 month to go. We're down $644,000, almost $45,000 in water, $300,000 and almost $40,000 in sewer fees. So altogether, our total operating revenues are down $948,000. To offset that, a little bit, was our total operating expenses currently are down almost $350,000. Much of that comes from the need for chemicals at our water treatment facility. Thankfully, did not come to what our expectations were. Thankfully, we offset a lot of that with these operating expenses. Combined with much of the year, we were down a meter reader. We've also had some other labor expenses that attributed to that, such as overtime expenses and also a water and sewer maintenance worker position that has not been filled, which I'd like to address later. So all in all, with 1 month to go, our net loss right now is $721,000. Now, this next slide, and I have this information from back from the 1998-99 fiscal year, which we've tracked all of the usage based on the different customer classes that we have. Some of the years, continue to go up, and what I want to get to is the in fiscal year 07-08, all in all, not a bad year. We had although we were predicting more than this, we had a 1% increase in what was projected. Okay? If you start going into fiscal year 08-09, we start to see a significant drop in all customer classes. Because if you look at the line, does this show up? Yes, it does. In all customer classes, we're down 11% in fiscal year 08-09 compared to the previous year. Okay, so when we look at the different customer classes, commercial was down 6.5%, governmental was down 22%. Industrial down 6%, residential down almost 12%, and city accounts were down 20%. That's a little not misleading, but 20% is a huge number, but there are not that many city accounts, and it's a relatively minor loss in the revenue as a whole. So we move into 09-10, and all in all, currently with 1 month to go in the month of April, we're seeing a 15.8% reduction in revenues compared to the prior year, and we were down 11% from that prior year. Once again, this is based on all classes of customers. It's not just one reason why we're losing money based on our projections. Commercials down 14%, government down 32%, almost 33%, industrial down 27%, almost 28%, residential down 13%, and city down 40%. So, what is staff recommending? Staff is recommending that we move. The city council and mayor recommend moving towards the alternative D2 and for the reasons that are pertain to, I guess, my opinion, mainly that we continue to fall short on our projections for consumption, thus affecting our revenues. My first priority, and I'm sure many others' priority, is to pay the IEPA loans which amount to $3 million, $3.2 million per year that we have to pay back. Personally, I'm very concerned that needed capital projects will continue to be pushed back due to the loss in revenue. I have it in here, but I've already gone through this, that the losses that we already have. Bottom line is we're at a net loss right now of $721,000. In order to offset this loss, I'm not moving forward with some of the capital improvements that I put forward in last year's budget. It's my opinion that dipping into the reserves to get us through this is not appropriate, and that I think the reserves should be used for emergencies. Lastly, I would like to see my department back to full staff. I'm short a water and sewer maintenance worker. This position is used for repairing water distribution system problems, sanitary sewer maintenance, storm sewer maintenance, snow plowing, anything that has to do with storm type related involvement, these people are out there. Personally, I'm constantly faced with an ever-increasing list of work which needs to be done. This is not only for my department, but also for wastewater and the water treatment facility. This position, the water and sewer maintenance worker, has been budgeted for and will only be filled, obviously, with the approval of the city administrator. Lastly, I just want to point out that if City of Council Alderman approved that the rate alternative D2 is to move forward, this doesn't guarantee any increases for all 3 years. Staff will evaluate each year during the budget season if any increases are necessary and make recommendations at that time and come back to you folks with that information. Tonight, although staff would like approval of the alternative D2 at the next City Council meeting, if more time is necessary to answer questions, staff is willing to postpone to a later date. With that, myself, Rempe Sharp, or anybody is willing to answer any questions at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Van Gescom, I'm going to give you the floor in terms of directing your responses to questions from the dais since we have suspended the rules. So you can control whom you wish to speak to or whom you don't. So fire away, ladies and gentlemen.
Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Bob. What capital projects do you have listed for this next fiscal year?
For this next fiscal year?
Yes.
The largest projects that we have going on right now is the Couts Road water main relocation project, Caneville Row or Caneville Court water main replacement project, and the sanitary sewer lining project, which we'd like to see move forward.
And then another question, how much money do we have in the reserves?
Currently, there's about $1.7 million in the reserves, but that is it's probably closer to 1.6 as we move forward to the end of the year.
Thank you.
Correct. At our current operating expenses,
it was 1.5
of the 90 days, our current reserve should be closer to 1.8 million.
For 90 days?
For 90 days.
Okay.
If not exceeding 1.8, just a little bit.
Thank you, Bob.
Alderman Singer?
Thank you, Robert. Let me see if I understand this correctly. What you've indicated here on rate trial D12, page 45 on my screen, you indicate that these are estimates for rate increases. And then as we go into the following fiscal years, you also indicate that those are also estimates, but yet you indicated that what we will do is as the time progresses and if it necessitates for the City Council to reevaluate the rate increases for this coming fiscal year, going into the following fiscal year, we will take a look at the rate and see if it is feasible for us to possibly increase the rates. So is that why you have these as estimates as opposed to...
Do you want to answer that?
Particular rate increases?
I'm sorry. Are the estimates for this current, for fiscal year 10-11, or are you asking for fiscal year 11-12?
I'm looking at 10-11.
Okay.
Table 212.
Go ahead.
The increase shows is at 3.83. Is that... Are we on the same page?
Are you referring to page 22 of 25? The table
212? It'd be page 22 of 25 in the document you provided, but online it's probably different.
Yes, okay. It is. I'm online.
It's part of the overall packet.
Okay. So I think what you're...
It still says it on the bottom, but...
I think what you may be referring to at the top of each column, it says estimated waterworks rate. And the only reason that it is...
I'm sorry. I was in conversation.
No, here. You're fine. You're fine. I just want to verify that.
Yeah,
that's
all right. Would you please reiterate that which you was
sure.
just said?
At the top of each column, we state for 2010 study, estimated fiscal year 10-11, estimated fiscal year 11-12, and estimated fiscal year 12-13 waterworks rate.
Right.
And the only reason that it's termed that way is that these are numbers that are... that we've used based on projections. This is not exact. This is what we've come up with based on all the information that we've got right now.
Okay.
These, based on what we know, these would be rates that would meet the revenue requirements that we've been given.
So then if it's possible that the following fiscal year, if our water rates are as such to the point where we are showing an additional increase in our revenue sources, that estimated rate increase for 11-12 would not be 395. It possibly could be less.
Absolutely. And
however, could it also be increased?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I believe we state in the report that it's very important within the next year that staff constantly monitor where revenues are at, because we are, based on what Bob has just said and based on our cash flow projections, we're looking at a net decrease in cash.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that be monitored to see over the next year, maybe the revenues that we're projecting are a little bit less, or they could be more. It's very important that be looked at closely, and then within a year or during the next year that we take another look and see if that's going to be sufficient, whether that need to be increased or slightly decreased or what have you.
I tend to feel comfortable with this this rate increase here as opposed to the one that follows it that you're calling what, phase?
D3. Yeah, alternative to where we
do. The alternative. And I say that to you in as much as I think I may have reiterated this at one time earlier or some time ago, that I feel more comfortable with taking a larger bite of the apple at this point in time rather than nibbling it this year and then the following year and the following year, because I think it seems to be more, I feel more comfortable with that concept as opposed to the other rate increase that you're supposing or suggesting as well. Now, the thing that's somewhat difficult for me, and I think maybe some of our constituents who accept it, might be the fact that if there is enough revenue generated that we might show, let's assume that it's called a profit as such, that we'd be able to meet the budget or exceed, you know, the costs of what our products are costing us, that revenue would not then be placed towards a decrease in the future water rate, but you're going to put that into the reserve. Is that correct?
Well,
am I thinking that way?
What my intention would be is that I think we've seen, you know, a few we've seen a drastic reduction in the amount of consumption in the last couple of years from what was projected. And like I stated in my previous meetings with you, is that it's not one item that we can look at. It's not economy-based. It's not weather-related. It's not just people being more conservative. It's a combination of everything. Bottom line is, I think that we've done a very good job of making sure that our expenses, our overall operating expenses, and are held to a minimum. And I think we've done a very good job personally at that. The bottom line is, we need so much money to make our system run and to be able to make the improvements that I feel are necessary. If we come to a point where we have a profit more than what is projected, or more than what should be in the reserves, then we'll look at reducing the rates. Mm-hmm. I think that everybody has been very honest with the public, and that's why we presented this. There's nothing to hide. The costs are what they are. The expenses, expenses are what they are. What we're seeing in the decline of our revenues are what they are, and we just need to move forward in the best way that we possibly can. So, in answering your question, if there's excess in reserves, we'll look at reducing rates.
Okay, may I just ask one more question, sir? Can you justify this 1.6 or 1.7 millions of dollars that we have presently in the reserve? How do you justify that large amount?
I justify it in the fact that we have a $26 million water treatment facility.
Okay.
That if a tornado would rip through town, what we would have to do to maybe not only rebuild that, but to start from scratch. We have, three water towers in town that if we're ever in danger of a catastrophe coming into town, that we need those in our system. We saw this year the fact that we had an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very it's not anything that we can predict. I think that those reserves need to be there for the reasons to where if we do come into an emergency situation, that we have the money available to act quickly and to make sure that this city is back up and running with water and sewer facilities.
Can you reflect on incidences in the past where we had a draw on that reserve?
The only time that I know that we have drawn into those reserves, and Marion Mayor, correct me if there's other instances, but I know that we've had to draw into those for replacements of starters or motors or well pumps or things like that that have been necessary to that were not planned. Those can range anywhere from $10,000 to $100,000. So
apparently, those are issues which they were not budgeted for.
That's correct.
That's what we would refer to as an emergency.
That's correct.
Okay. Very good. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Water.
Okay. So we've mentioned a couple times that the main problem is that consumption is down. I think there's two reasons that's a problem. Well, actually, there's two problems I have with that. One, and we've talked about this before, can you explain why we can't go with a rate structure that encourages consumption rather than one that in which consumption poses problems? I know that you and Dan and I have talked before about different alternatives and things like that. And so some of the questions I get is, why can't we just come up with a different rate structure altogether?
Can Bill, you are very good at explaining this.
And in fact, he's so I am the guy who explained it to me.
Bill Gain from Rimpy Sharp is very good at explaining the differences, and I'm going to let him explain that.
There are many different ways that you could form a rate structure for the city. You can form it similar to what we have now, which is a three-tiered system. When I first did the rate study for Geneva, it was a five-tier rate block rate system. And this was somewhere around 1985. And so there was looking for some rationale. For one, they wanted to simplify the structure of the rates. But secondly, they wanted to make sure that the rates were developed that were fair, that it was a cost-to-service study be developed so that we don't overburden an industrial and commercial customers. If you put in a uniform rate, like many communities have, then basically you're sliding off some of those costs to the industrial and the commercial. So what we have done here, and that was because the city councils at that time felt it was very important to keep a strong industrial and commercial base. And for that reason, it was determined that they wanted to stick with a three-tiered structure. Well, it didn't have to be a three-tiered structure. But one of the things that I showed when you saw those costs, those curves that were in the upper right-hand corner, those curves reflected patterns that showed that we could reduce it down from five-tier to three-tier and still keep it fair within those classes of customers, where 85% of the residential customers were were brought into that first group, but you could see the second group primarily was within that second rate block, which was commercial and governmental. And the industrial, if you look at where that curve is, you can see most of those customers in the industrial were way at the other end. So we felt that we were able to meet the needs of the community with that particular, at least with a council, trying to keep a fair system of rates that would cover the cost equitably through a cost-to-service system for the residential, for the governmental, and commercial being in another group, and industrial.
But also within even residential, there's issues. If we go with a flat rate and you're a senior home with two people, you're just not consuming nearly as much water as a family of five, and yet with a flat rate, you're paying the same amount. So consumption, in our case, is actually what drives fairness.
Right. There is, you could consider conservation rates. Then certainly you can consider it. But you have to determine how you're going to impose those conservation rates. You shouldn't say, well, because of a use, a certain high use, that they should be paying a higher rate. Well, your industrial base will be paying a tremendously higher rate, mm-hmm. and they're only using water on an average basis. They don't have the peak flows. They're not watering the lawns. What they're doing is they're using it pretty much equally through the year. There's no changes in seasonal. So it's important that you understand that you want to treat each of your customers as fairly as possible. One of the points that were made to me back in 1985 was if this went to court, we wanted to make sure that we could prove that these costs were fair and equitable. I mean, that was the charge to me. And I felt with this cost-to-service study that we did, we can easily go into court and we can show that all of these costs are fair and equitable for all the rate customers.
Okay, thank you. And then the second part of the effect of reduced consumption on our bottom line has to do with fixed costs and the amount of fixed costs that we face. So you'd think that if consumption is down, variable costs also go down, but our main and that's true, but our main problem is we have a high level of fixed cost in running our operation. Is that correct?
That's correct, and a lot of it has to do also with the making sure that the IPA loans are paid back. So there's $3.2 million right off the bat that have to come into play there. There's tremendous amount of maintenance that needs to be done with our infrastructure all the time. I think people are sometimes, why shouldn't my, if I'm not consuming that much water, then we should have a surplus in our revenues or what we were going to use for expenses. And it really doesn't equate to that. And I believe that if my memory serves me based on the spreadsheet I've going back to in my mind, is that for about every 1,000 gallons of water that we produce, 1,000 cubic feet, excuse me. No. Let me back up. 1,000 gallons. It costs us about 61 cents to produce that water, to where the consumer, when it gets there, it's roughly $4 is what we're asking them to pay, because there's such a difference in the fixed cost that we need to pay for. So it really doesn't translate into exact numbers when we subtract the fixed costs.
Okay.
I hope that helps.
All right. That's all.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Alderman Dantino.
I'll ask some questions that are similar to Alderman Maladra's, but with the, first of all, the fixed cost of $3 million a year, how many more years do we have on that loan, roughly?
Approximately 18.
18. So, hypothetically, if that was gone today, then there wouldn't be this inverse relationship, I would assume, to less usage, higher rates. If it was,
well, you would be taking $3.2 million away from our current expenditures that we wouldn't have, right?
Do you think that the rates would remain the same then, or go down?
I know it's a tough question,
but I mean, we see kids here before telling us to take shorter showers, so it's hard to explain to the general public why usage is down, why my rates have to go down. Obviously, it's got a lot to do with that $3 million, I would assume.
Right, but we've also invested in the future. This water treatment facility that we have is going to be, should be online for the next 50 to 75 years. Our cost to repay that obviously is a lot, but we also invested in, like I said, we invested in the future. And the ratepayers are seeing, shouldn't see that impact in another 10 years like maybe some other communities will. What true impacts down the road, I don't know. Could we reduce rates maybe hopefully in the future? It'd be great to see that, but I don't know what other costs are going to be out there as far as construction costs or other infrastructure needs that we may have.
Well, plus you have to staff the plant, right? So, if consumption drops by 40%, we don't shut down 40% of the plant. It's not a manufacturing facility.
That would be a fixed cost.
It's an operation that has to be, it has to be run.
Let me make a stab at that. I think what you're going to see in 20 years is that you're going to see replacement equipment that's going to be required. I think you're going to see replacement filters. I think you're going to be seeing replacement pumps. I don't see a replacement building as such, but you are going to see all of that equipment have to be replaced. Now, the reserve fund that you have isn't accounting for that replacement in the future. In other words, you're not depreciating that and putting that money back into your system. All you're doing is paying for debt service and operation, but no reserves. So understand, in certain period of time, 15 years, 20 years, you'll probably be going out for additional loans at that time to begin the payment of replacement of some of this equipment. So, yes, you may see some reduction, but I don't know that you're going to see the full
elimination of the debt service at that particular time. So, yes, if that debt service is all you had to worry about, nothing else, you reduce down in 20 years, you reduce that down, yes, your rates are going to go down. But there's going to be other things that will be coming up.
Thank you.
We're not looking at another $24 million.
If you can tell me the inflation
more.
Rate.
Well, using today's dollars.
The chemicals you're saving, I think it was approximately $200,000 a year. Is that going to be a continued savings or that?
I think so. It really kind of depends. Well, the chemical market has stabilized considerably compared to what it was last year or the previous year. But still, items like fluoride is a very touchy subject right now. Manufacturers of that have already told us that we don't know what's coming down the pike, but we're committing to you right now that we do have a supply, but futures we're not sure of, which I guess you can say for many things. But costs have stabilized, so I'm hoping that with the operations that we have at the plant, that we can continue doing this, but it's an unknown.
And you used the lower number in your budget figures?
I used actual numbers in the budget figures.
The next thing is you mentioned the 90 days, I guess it is. I thought, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought we were talking about a number of $1.5 million back in February.
Correct.
What changed that to 1.8?
Just when we look at the added future or added expenses for the operating expenses included with the water plant, that number does jump up a little bit. So yes, we're the 1.5 is the bottom line that we want to achieve. As far as I really don't want to go any lower than that, and I think Mary would agree.
That's the number we did talk about, though, in February, 1.5.
Correct.
Okay. And the emergencies you mentioned kind of give me some question as to, you mentioned a tornado or things of that nature, or earthquake. Are we not insured for things of that nature?
Yes.
Why would we need the kind of reserve?
I mean, we carry insurance, but there's other costs that come out with that. I mean, just your insurance doesn't necessarily pick up every expense, but we do carry insurance.
And what, Stephanie, may I? And what are you referencing? You're saying insurance won't cover
everything. We have property insurance, we have liability insurance, but you have deductibles that you have to cover.
Right.
And there could be other things, you know. I mean, you work in the industry, you probably can help me out here.
That's why I'm asking, because. May I, Ralph?
Sure, go right ahead.
The reference to the reserves of $1.8 million, I certainly understand that you have breakdown of mechanical equipment that you can't budget for, and sometimes you have a big-ticket item and that has to be paid for. No problem. But when you brought up the issue of insurance, and in the event there's a tornado or an earthquake, typically your property casualty carrier is going to respond absent the deductible. Do we have $1 million deductible? How high is our deductible for the
property? I think is actually $5,000, but I don't quote me because I obviously don't have the policy.
Yeah,
I think
because we just did that recently, and it was rather.
But
low.
It depends. There's some things at the in the electric that's $100,000 deductible. We have various deductibles for various items.
I understand, but it doesn't appear that our deductibles are such that we would ever have to pay $1 million, and the way the policies read, we would be charged the higher of all the deductibles. So if it's $100,000 versus $5,000, we're going to take $100,000 hit. And I don't think that would necessarily impact our reserves. So,
one of the problems with insurance, Bill Gain again, is that it's going to take time for that, and your customers need water. So there has to be something that you're going to be doing.
What kind of time frame are you looking at that you need money?
Well, you're not going to build a water plant again in a short period of time. So during that time, you're going to have to find alternative means,
right,
whatever that may be, and I don't know. So there's some unknowns relative to that. Now, that's a pretty extreme condition, correct, but there's going to be pumps. There's going to be a number of other things that come along that's going to be important,
sure,
for you to resolve. But I wanted to at least state with the insurance that certainly is going to be true for long range that you can recover it, but you need to provide water to your customers. And that, on the interim basis, is where do you go and how do you approach that? And it may mean changing your water system so that you're not pumping through or because everything goes through a particular pumping,
right,
station there, that if something ever happened to that pumping station, now you're going to have to change things back and maybe alter some of your wells to pump direct back into,
right,
the distribution system.
And if you look at our insurance policy, you'll see that we have expediting and extra expense, which coverage is provided. And insurance companies in today's day and age, particularly with the condition of the market, are more than willing to advance large sums, large payments in advance.
Okay. Well,
so
that is a possibility,
right,
then.
Thanks.
One last question. When was the last time we raised rates? Do you know, or does Mary know?
Last fiscal year, we had our last increase for the water treatment facility.
So it's been continuous?
Yes. Well, I mean, continuous to a point. We had a three-year set increase for the payment for the upfront cost for the water treatment facility.
But there was a step increase every year, same,
yes,
as the,
yes, the last, in, the last increase was a 10% increase.
Okay.
Question?
Thank you.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you. First, we keep referring to these reserves, and I think we should adopt the nomenclature that everyone else in the business does. We're talking about cash reserves and cash flow, and we have current cash flow running at about $530,000 a month, and we have cash reserves of 1.7, 1.8, so we are probably in better shape than 95% of the companies and nonprofits out there. I happen to be on the board of a few, and I know that if they had anywhere close to 90 days of cash reserves, they would be in very good condition. The important thing is to remember that what happened is a few years ago, a decision was made that we were going to build this reverse osmosis treatment plant. It was stated by everybody at the time that the rod rates were going to go up. It was stated by me and many others that we were getting ourselves into a position where we were highly dominated by fixed costs. And if for some reason in the future, like the higher rates caused people to reduce their consumption, that indeed this would reflect back negatively and we would have to even increase the rates further. This was known at the time and was one of the reasons I was one of the few people who voted against it, because I realized we were in a position of reverse feedback here, negative feedback, where if people thought the higher rates, saw the higher rates and decided to reduce consumption, then it was going to, because of the huge base costs, I didn't know they were 85%, which I just quoted. I thought they were going to be 75 or 80. We're now talking fixed costs, which are up above 80%. Indeed, you have this situation where even if we all stopped using water, we would have this huge fixed cost that we have to pay. It may be that it wasn't the higher rates, and we've had a rate increase every year for the last number of years now. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's the information about green that people have been talking about. People are thinking more green than they were 4 years ago when we started talking about this 5 years ago. Maybe it's just because of the weather. Who knows? But we're in this situation where we have this plant. It's a beautiful plant. It's going to last us long into the future, but we've invested in it. It's like investing in a house or investing in a very nice car. You're stuck with the payments. We're now stuck with the payments for another 18 years. And we're faced with this fact that if for some reason, any reason, people going green, people deciding the rates are getting too high, the weather not accommodating us, that if indeed consumption continues to go down, our rates are going to continue to have to go up. Now, we can argue about 1.8, 1.5, 1.6. This is strictly a cash flow problem, and I think we're in probably better condition than most people at the moment. But even though it sounds like I'm arguing against this rate increase, I think because the portents are not good at the moment, I think we have to continue slowly increasing these rates, because we've got ourselves into this position where we have these huge fixed costs, and we got to make sure we're increasing them. So, indeed, I think the staff have worked very hard this year to keep the costs down. The staff, along with Rempe Sharp, have worked very hard to, with their pencils on these numbers, to keep them as low as possible. I think they've come out with a rate increase which is lower than I actually thought we were going to see. And I think we need this because I think we need to keep ourselves in the position where we continue to have this reasonable rate flow, this reasonable balance between cash on hand and cash flow every month. And remember it reverberates in lots of other places. We have bond ratings to worry about and everything else. And the fact that our enterprise funds are actually in fairly good condition is one of the reasons we have fairly good bond rating at the moment. All of these things can impact on many different things. So even though it looks like I'm arguing, and I have in the past argued, that this rate increase, I didn't like it. I like the way the city staff has reacted this year to the problem. I like the way that the city staff and the engineering have sharpened their pencils to try to keep this as low as possible. I think this rate increase puts us in a position where we're still viable. Everything looks viable. It shouldn't affect our bond ratings. It still looks like this. The Water Enterprise, which we are basically the board of directors of the Water Enterprise Fund, it looks like we're in a good position here, and I think the most important thing that everyone is saying, we will reevaluate it next year. And so I think for this year, this rate increase, I will vote for it, even though in the past, many times, I've argued against it. I think in this case, everybody has done the best job they can, and I think this particular rate increase this year, unfortunately, we have to put through because of these high fixed costs, and we've got to cover ourselves on those. Thank you. One other point. I wanted to make one point. Thank you for reading off the city ordinance that we passed. It said we will strive. It didn't say we will. Clearly, when it comes to cash on hand, cash flow, et cetera, these are all goals. If something came up, we would have to go below these limits, and I have personally been part of an enterprise on a board where we were down to 3 days of cash on hand and worrying very, you know, sweating bullets about how we would get ourselves out of that situation. So, you know, it is possible. The problem is when you get down to zero, of course, you have to start borrowing money, and then it's a vicious cycle, and you don't want to ever be in that position. So we're just hoping that we won't have an expense that comes up that forces us down into the position where we've got to borrow money. And I think this is a reasonable rate increase, and I will support it. Thank you.
Alderman Vogelberg.
Thank you. Actually, I can say it not quite as well as Alderman Brown, but I thought the same thing, that when we decided to build this water treatment plant, we signed off on the loan, and we also signed off on knowing exactly how many staff we needed to run it. So now we can't back down on that. But also, besides that, it's something we needed because we were having minimum requirements. We were not meeting the minimum requirements of our water by the government. And now we have award-winning water. So that is a good thing. And we have a state-of-the-art facility that will last us for, you know, hopefully forever. So I think that we did agree to all this, and we knew that this is where we'd be, and that's – we just need to handle it now. I'm not so worried about the emergencies of weather. The emergencies that I always worry about, because that's the only thing anyone calls about, is pipe breaks and many disasters like that. So I don't like the thought of deferring some of the capital projects any longer, because there's quite a few neighborhoods that really need the pipelining. Isn't that a simple way to say what you do? But and without that, when you get a call, and we've all had them, when the pipe breaks and there's water everywhere, people, that is an emergency to them, and they're losing their personal belongings, and we and that resident will pay the staff whatever it takes to come out in the middle of the night and fix it. So we need to have the money for that, and I think that is important to the homeowners. But it'd be even better to prevent it and do our capital projects is to the best of our ability. Thank you.
I just wanted to follow up, pardon me, on the discussion about the bond rating. And you all recall, I just sent out information last week. The mayor, the city treasurer, the finance director, Stephanie, myself, participated in a conference call with Moody's Investor Service and answered questions for quite some time via the telephone conference. And then we spent several days following up via email, providing them with information based on the initial conference call. During those exchanges, I had the opportunity to discuss the situation with Moody's, and I will tell you we were fortunate to hold on to the bond rating that we had. And primarily the reason that we were able to do that is because we had adopted that minimum 90-day fund balance for all three of our major funds. And plus, we had cut our general fund by 20%, and in addition to that, we had held expenses below the 20% that we had already cut. That combined with them knowing that we were no longer going to be dipping into reserves or fund balance for capital projects, and that we were looking at a minimum level, and that we were looking to build that up, is what convinced them to maintain the current rating of a AA3. So I just wanted to emphasize that it's very important. Obviously, that has a huge effect on the interest rate on any future borrowing that we would do. But it does not look good for a municipality to lose a level in its bond rating. And without your action a year ago to adopt those financial policies and staff's action to hold back on capital expenditures this year, I have no doubt in my mind we would have lost at least one level in our rating. So I just wanted to emphasize the importance of that. And, yes, the policy specifically deliberately says strive, because at the time that I brought that before you, we could not maintain. We still don't have that level. And that's why I purposely put the word strive in there, because I knew that we were working toward that. And we're not there yet in all of the funds. But with your support, we're working in that direction. So I just, again, wanted to emphasize the importance of that, not just to maintain the next year or an upcoming year's fund balance, but long-term looking at the interest rates that the city would incur if we don't do that. And Moody's, you know, as the mayor can attest to, was very, very concerned about our spending down of our fund balance. So, thank you.
Can I ask a question in regards to that?
Go ahead.
You called it a reclassification. I couldn't get to the email, but you called it a reclassification of our bond rating, but it changed, I think.
It changed from AA3 to a AA2. They call it a global migration, and explain that it really, the AA3 was what we had.
Right.
And we were able to maintain that barely. They did this global migration, and it got upgraded to a AA2, but as they explained, it's really not an upgrade. And I sent an at least one or two articles to everyone explaining the way that they did it. They used to compare government to government. Now they've changed that to a global perspective, so they're comparing government to everybody else. And in that broad perspective, governments look pretty darn good because we have a much lower failure rate than the private sector.
Thank goodness.
So, that's why.
Has but
your takeaway tonight,
but
we're not going
to
fail.
Right, but in their explanation to me and me reading the articles that I sent to you, it's just that it's a different scale, but we're still the same risk level according to the investors groups.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Alderman Marks, I apologize. If
no, that's okay.
Passed up.
It's perfectly all right. I just had one question, and I'm sorry I didn't look it up or send it to you ahead of time. What was the rate increase we were actually looking at back in February? I mean, it has decreased from our original look at this, has it not?
Yes. I believe what we were looking at before was a proposed 5%.
That's what I thought. Okay. Right. That was
correct. Correct me if I'm wrong.
4.5. I think it was 4.5.
I think in some of the documents it was 5% and 4.5, but I stressed at that time it was an estimate.
Right. I know. I just wondered where we were.
Right. And it usually it varies. There's always differences once you get into the rate design. And the whole impact, the only reason I give that is to give you some idea of the range that we're talking about, so you have a feel for when you say you approve this particular costs, expenses, and revenues, that you know what it means as far as what a potential projection of rates would be.
What do you know what roughly is, forget it, I have the answer, I know it. It was in the packet, I know it, that's fine, thank you, sorry about that. Yeah, no, I realized it was in the packet, so that's fine.
Don't believe I missed anybody else.
I have a question for the mayor, if I may.
Absolutely.
I'd like to clarify the procedural
process
we're going to go through on this vote.
Okay.
We are presently considering voting on report on phase two, the cost of the service study rate alternate number D2.
That is correct. Once a motion is offered, it's recommended by the chair that the motion be offered as written on the agenda.
Okay.
Should this committee choose to not support that, then an alternative motion can be brought forward, which most likely would be option D3.
Okay.
But again, the rules are still suspended, so because of the nature of the conversation, there's not yet a motion on the table for consideration of that agenda item. So.
Thank you for that.
Bob's doing a hell of a job commanding the troops, so it's good.
So this is another clarifying question. We can't continue as we are. Oh, sorry. We can't continue as we are, right? We need to do some type of rate increase. So it just it's the timing that's the question.
In my mind, you can do.
It's between D2 and D3.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. You can either suggest that we move forward and propose alternative D2, which would have a rate increase for this fiscal year, or we propose to go with rate alternative D3 with no increase. So, but that is up to you folks. But that my recommendation was to move forward with D2.
Can the question be called, Mr. Mayor?
I'll defer to the committee unless there's anyone in the audience wishing to address this issue. There's a gentleman in the back.
On the floor to be called.
Yeah, there's not a question yet, exactly. So. Welcome, sir. And just for the record, sir, we kindly ask that you state your name, spell your last name for us. Your address would be wonderful, and obviously just speak clearly to the mic.
Walter Janis, J-A-N-I-S, 2111 Williamsburg Avenue, Geneva.
Find it. Welcome.
My question is the water customer charge. And I know it varies with the size of the pipe and the meter, but I saw on Timothy's, one of your charts up there, right now I'm paying $1.14, and it's going to go up to $1.33, which is a 16% increase. Sewer customer charge, right now I'm paying 77 cents, and it will go up to $1.30, which is almost over 100% increase. Now, I noticed the larger pipes, the percent is much less. Some of them are like 1.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we make everybody equal? I mean, why should the smaller pipes have this large increase compared to the guys that are using a lot more water? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Janis. Either Mr. Grimm or Mr. Van Gescom, you know, Mr. Grimm, if you'd like to comment from the consultant standpoint, then Mr. Van Gescom, if you want to comment from a operations standpoint, that'd be helpful.
I believe I can comment on that. Part of the reason for, let's see.
I know it's awkward to speak to us while Mr. Janis asked the question, but we encourage you to still speak into the microphone so that everyone can pick up your response.
Okay. I'm sorry. The reason for the larger rate increase in the smaller diameter service pipes is primarily due to there is lower consumption in industrial, governmental, commercial use, which is the larger size services. Therefore, the same dollar amount is distributed amongst the smaller diameter or residential use. So you see a larger increase, you know, albeit a little. It's not a large increase. It percentage-wise, it's a larger increase because there's less use in the industrial customers.
So you use less, and you're going to be charged more.
No, it's actually the industrial use is has decreased, not the residential. It's the percentage of use among residential is greater because industrial customers are not using as much water.
According to some of your charts, though, our percentage has gone down. What was it, 20% of our use? One of your charts?
There, he's got to come up.
Residential?
Yeah. Residential. Let's re-ask the question again, because I want, because believe me, I know there are people watching this at home, and I want to make certain that we capture the essence of the question.
My neighbors are, anyway.
I'm sure, you look good.
Right. So it's good. I feel good, too.
Let me try and get it up on the...
Yeah,
sure.
See if you can get it. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Take your time,
totally
Mr. Grimm.
I am pure illiterate, so it's your ball game. People keep it.
Leprechaun does. No, look. Look at the statement. Look at the science about it. Whenever we see that in science, we call that leprechaun does.
Okay.
Estimated, he said nothing. They estimated it. Oh, which pocket did you find that number? Was it your left ear? This table, the red table, comes directly from this one because that's these numbers in this column. So this table has been sprinkled with leprechaun dust.
Okay. This table?
Yeah. At the 3/4-inch meter, it's $1.14. It's going to go up 16%. And you see the 6-inch meter, it's $12.08, and it's only going up to $12.20. It's only what, 1 point? Is that 1.6?
1.6.
And there's a one sentence description.
0.6?
1.6%.
Every single table follows from that.
That's what bothers me right there. Why don't we raise everybody the same?
The reason is we take.
Mr. Grimm?
Yes.
Nice and clear into the microphone, please.
Okay.
I know it's awkward, but we appreciate it.
Sorry about that. The reason is that we are taking the. There is a reduction in the amount of industrial use, and we also, I believe there is a reduction in governmental and commercial, which is the larger meter sizes. So we're taking the same expenses that Bob has projected and spreading those out over less use among industrial customers. Therefore, the increase, unfortunately, ends up going to the smaller diameter services.
So if you pass the increase on to somebody who's not using water, you get no benefit.
Right.
Right.
About the waste?
Because it's a sewer charge.
The waste.
I'm sorry.
The waste sewer customer charge.
Let's go to that one.
Mr. Grimm, nice and close to the mic, big guy.
Okay.
My producer just said we can't pick up your voice.
I'm sorry about that. I'll try better.
That's you too, Maladra. That's how Conan O'Brien got let go, you know.
Okay, specifically, which increase are you referring to?
Look at the residential one for 77 cents.
Okay.
See,
77 cents is the monthly service charge.
Right.
Currently.
Where does that show up on your chart?
It's 1.6.
Let's see, do we have a...
Who's got a pointer? Right there. Okay, there you go. So that's going to go up how much for your new rate for the first year?
It's actually, it's going to $1.30 for both.
Yeah, $1.32, right?
This is the fix.
That would, from the current rates to the recommended for fiscal year 10-11, we would be increasing to $1.30. For 11-12, we would be increasing to $1.32.
That's exactly what this is.
Okay, all right, I see your work. All right.
This is the estimate.
So that percent increase is what? 68%?
Yeah, that's per bill. Sorry. That's a per bill cost.
What about industrial? Look at what they're getting away with murder.
They're both equal. For that monthly service charge, the increase is equal.
Okay. All right, 9.8% because it's fuzzy over here. That's all right.
No. That's okay. I just want to...
worry about it.
No, no, no.
That's okay. So this is the stuff you guys are going to vote on, right?
Well, right. Both are the same. You go from the current monthly service charge of 77 cents to the recommended, which is $1.30, and it's equal for non-industrial and industrial.
All right, residential and non-industrial.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So those are the same. Your differences for the water.
Okay.
And that's just due to the redistribution of the amount of water being consumed.
But on a whole, though, don't all the residents use more water than the commercial and industrial? You know, as a group.
As a group, the percentage of use among residential customers is much greater than the other customers.
So that's why you're charging us more for this water customer charge. It's because we're using more water compared to the other guys.
Compared to the last study that we had done, the percentage between residential and the other customer classes has increased, and it's the percentage of use among the other customer classes, commercial, governmental, industrial, has reduced. So now that distribution of costs or expenses needs to be divvied up between less non-residential customers, okay. if that makes sense.
All right. Well, then my next question is this. Residents have to absorb this increase.
Mr. Janis, could I trouble you to...
Okay.
Thank you.
I think
you speak on behalf of a lot of people. So
all right. Residents have to absorb this cost. It comes out of their pocket, off their table. Whereas commercial or businesses, they could pass it on to their customers. You know, it's a win-win for them. You know, it's part of business. They're just going to increase the rates of hamburgers, telephones, whatever. The residents have to absorb it. So that's why I think you should kind of like skew it more to the commercial and industrial places, because they could pay for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Janis. Bob, the floor is yours.
I'm sorry. Taking your place.
Oh, hell, you're doing a great job.
Alderman Tantino.
Mayor Jr. you like that, huh?
I do like that.
The D3 wasn't in our packet.
No.
And could you give
me... I'm sorry. Finish, please. Yeah.
It's in this booklet. Which I failed to bring, but I just borrowed one. Could you just give us cliff notes on that?
Well, bottom line is that if we would proceed with no increase this fiscal year, based on the projected costs and expenditures and revenues for this fiscal year, current fiscal year, 10-11, if you would look at the rate adjustment for water, you would be looking at roughly a 9.6% increase for in compared to fiscal year 10-11 to 11-12, and that would... It wouldn't matter as far as which rate block you were in. So it would be roughly 9.6 across the board.
So you're saying that based on D3, we would have 0% increase in 10-11?
Correct.
9.6 in 11-12 and 0 again in 12-13?
For water, that's correct.
Okay. Sewer?
You just make sure I'm on the right area.
What page is that?
Page 18 of 19.
Yeah, that'd be great. Tim's going to put up a slide for that.
Oh, he has that? And it doesn't show what it does to the fund balances there either.
Just a reminder to any of the aldermen who are having side conversations, certainly encourage to do so, but make sure your microphones are off. Just got an angry text from a resident.
You just yelled at me for not using them.
This is...
Well, if you're talking amongst yourself, your kid just texted me. Saying, tell my mother to please.
They wouldn't waste a text on this shutting up.
Table 212 it's similar to rate alternative D2. This would be rate alternative D3. And showing current water rates, we would project for this rate alternative, keeping the rates at the 09-10 levels through 10-11, and then we're projecting approximately a 10% increase for each block for fiscal year 11-12. And then we're also projecting fairly significant increases in the monthly service charges.
And with the fund balances, they don't show anything for the 10-11.
Are you meaning end-of-year balances?
Yes. Yes, sir.
I actually don't have that. That was part of the cash flow, and I don't have that information with me right here.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Thank you. Yes, sir.
I'd like to offer to get you that information tomorrow, if that would be okay.
That'd be fine, yes. Again. Thank you.
Alderman Hill?
Like Mr. Janus, I, too, am concerned about the residential taxpayers. We have increased the rates for leaf pickup last fall. Because we realized that, or for this coming fall, because we realized that we couldn't get the job done with the equipment and the personnel that we had. So they're paying more for leaf pickup. An attempt here is being made to increase our cost for water and sewerage. Still in this down economy, where very few people are going to be making the salary increases that are going to be necessary to help pay for the increases that we are charging. And I think that we should attempt in this case, in the water department in particular, to not charge any increase for fiscal 10-11. And when it comes time to discuss fiscal 11-12, we go through this procedure once again. Thank you.
Alderman Piper.
Thanks, Bob. Just a couple of quick points. Something that Mr. Janus had said sort of hit me with the win-win for the industrial sector. Coming out of manufacturing, I can tell you right now, that's not a cost you pass on. You eat it. We eat costs for literally for years until raw material gets to the point where you can't do it anymore, you're not making any money. And you have to go back, because price increases are very difficult to get right now, so it's not a win-win for anybody. We put up the big scary percentages. Again, we're talking really about pennies all over the place. I don't like to see anything increase for anyone, especially right now. But for all the gloom and doom that's out there, I've said it before and I'll say it again, go anywhere on the weekend, you will stand in line. This is the weirdest damn recession I've ever seen in my life. Nobody's got any money, but everybody's out. At the end of the day, I think we need to do this and chip away at it. I would rather chip away at it over a couple of years with the D2 that we're seeing rather than the D3 and really nail somebody next year. I think you don't have to be Kreskin to realize that we start to get into this using our $1.6-1.7 million, we're going to start screwing up our bond rating. We're not going to have any operating costs or cash flow. That's going to be catastrophic, and to me that's penny-wise and dollar-foolish. I think we should move forward with D2, and I'd like to support that, and I'll make a motion right now to put that forward, Mr. Mayor.
I would second that motion if it's...
Motions are not in order when we're not...
Correct. The motions are not in order when the rules are suspended. So
oh, I'm sorry.
We need a motion to actually first return to the rules as governing a typical committee of the whole meeting, but...
Well, I don't want to stomp on anybody else if they got to speak, but...
Go ahead. You're going to make that motion?
No, I was going to make a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, I've pored over these numbers for the last couple of
of days, actually. And, Bob, I asked a lot of those questions you answered tonight. And, unfortunately, I came to the conclusion that somewhere along the line we're going to have to increase rates. We are not going to be able to say we can't raise anything. And I think what's really in front of this council tonight, or the committee tonight, is actually, are we going to do it in steps or are we going to do it in one fell swoop? I mean, that's really what we're looking at. I mean, yeah, we can cut the fund balance down, and I understand that. But, you know, I've continually looked at this and seen it, and capital expenditures have to continue to keep going, or we're going to get to the point where the city had a number of years ago where we had to float a bond just to improve capital improvements. So I think the real question we're all looking at, and the one we all have to truly decide, is it's not whether we're going to have a rate increase, it's which rate increase we're really going to put into place tonight, or at least look at for the city council next week. And I know I think we're all struggling with that. I don't know if I've made up my mind yet either, but I realize looking at this and poring over it that there's really no way around any rate increase unless we really have a very, very hot and dry summer. I mean, there is no way around that. I mean, if that's the case, I mean, we've done it. But I, you know, considering the type of spring we had, I don't think that's the case of what we're going to be looking at for the summer. And that was just my comments. I think that's what we're looking at here now, is which way do we want to, which way is more palatable to all the people sitting around here, whether we're going to do it in steps or one fell swoop, because I don't think it's going to go any other way. And that's all I had to say, Mayor.
Alderman Dantino?
I guess then I do agree with Alderman Marks that it is looks like we do need a raise, but I would fall into the camp of Alderman Hill and see if we could delay it for a year. So I would be more inclined to be in the 0% for this year and see where the chips fall next year if we have good usage or any of that thing. So that's what I would be supporting. Thank you.
If there's no additional comments.
Motion to resume the old rules.
Yeah, motion to reinstate the rules is offered by Alderman Piper.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Alderman Maladra. All in favor of reinstating the rules, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Now it would be an appropriate time, if someone so desires, to offer a motion as prepared on the agenda, which again is item 3C. Consider water and sewer rate alternative number D, as in David, 2, in the water and sewer rate cost of service study and rate development study.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Piper, seconded by Singer. Any additional comments, questions, clarifications? Anyone in the audience? No, Mr. Marks.
Just one question I just want to clarify. So what we're really looking at tonight, though, is just with the motion that's on the floor is the rate increase for 2010-2011.
That's correct.
Correct. I just want to make sure that's clarified.
We forecast it out 3 years. But
yeah, but we always look at this every year.
Exactly.
Has that always happened that way in the past? I mean, or when we first put the plan in place, did we know that we were going to have 3 years and we had to live with it?
No, prior to, right? Alderman Brown?
It was scheduled to have three rate increases in a row, and that was part of the budget.
But, I mean, prior to the water treatment plant, we always looked at a 3- or 5-year horizon.
Five years. I can assure you the budget is looked at each year for the enterprise funds, just like the general fund.
Monthly.
Bill Gain again. The way we started initially was we averaged it over a 3-year period. And it all depended on how long they wanted to plan. Sometimes they did it for 5 years, and there was a 5-year rate, and it was – We kept that rate for 5 years. But with the water treatment plant, it was decided that we needed to take a look each year as we go through this. And so over the last 4 years, I believe, we have taken a look at it at each year. But at some point again, you know, once we get over this hump, I think what you'll see is probably rates that a single rate increase that would last for 3 to 5 years, something like that.
Is that clarified?
That's fine. Thank you, Mayor.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. Alderman Hill.
Mr. Mayor, I hate to throw a wrench into the discussion, but I just confirmed with City Administrator McKittrick that because every month the staff sends out a report, and it's in all of our papers indicating what usage we've had in all of the categories. And I use that in reporting some of the city activities to another board that I'm on in the community. And so I'm a little bit familiar with what the industrial people do. They use less water, and the residential category uses more, and the rates are different for good reasons. But this is different than our annual budget, because this is not tax dollars. With the tax increase, you can't change that in May or June if you have a need to. With the water rate or the sewer rate, if we've had a major catastrophe, or if the usage is down because we're having a wet year, and it looks like we're going to have to really dip very deeply into the reserves, the staff can come back to us and propose an increase in these rates. I believe I'm correct in that, am I not, Mary? Okay. So this is something that is different than a regular tax increase. It's a rate increase that can be changed at any month in which the staff recommends and that we agree to. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Alderman Piper?
Sounds to me like everything we've seen, this is the month they've come and asked for an increase. So, I mean, I understand exactly what Sam is saying, but to me, we're there. If we do this now and we, you know, it's very, very dry, like Rich says, you know, that's really, the weather's really would be helpful. It's dry and we don't have to take as big of increase next year, great, but I think people would rather see very small pieces handed to them than be force-fed one big increase all at one time. That's my personal feeling. I don't know what, you know. Thank you.
Alderman Brown.
I might add one thing to what Alderman Piper so correctly said, which is it's pretty difficult for the staff to have to rebudget every month. It helps the staff to at least give them a roadmap for 12 months. I would not want to be in charge of one of these major departments providing a very important service to the city and be told that you'll be told next month's budget next month. No, thank you.
Anyone else from the dais on the motion on the floor?
Bob, I actually did talk to people this weekend about it when I came to the realization that there is no way around it. And you're right. They'd rather see it in small pieces. I mean, their first question is, are you sure you can't get around it?
Right.
And I'll tell you, I don't think we can get around it.
Oh,
and
no.
So I did start to talk to people. Yeah. And I will tell you, people would say they'd rather have it in pieces.
You're getting the same reaction I'm getting.
I actually did call some people and ask them that question. So that you know.
Okay. From the dais, any other questions regarding the motion on the floor? Comments from the audience? Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll.
Could you just clarify again what we're just yes, one last time so everybody's clear on this?
In essence, ladies and gentlemen, we are voting on option D2 as presented by Mr. Van Gescom and Mr. Grimm. And in essence, what D2 calls for is a 3.6% rate increase for fiscal year 2010-11 with the pledge and commitment from staff to return to this chamber for discussions regarding what increase, if any, is required for 2011-12.
So that's only the water increase, right? We're looking at the sewer in the same vote, correct?
Yes, we are. Yeah, excuse me. Yes, we are.
That was because I think there's a separate table for the sewer.
Right. There is. It's.
But that's the motion.
That's the motion. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. The motion includes both the water.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that it was both of them.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Sorry. Anyone else? Ms. Fenari?
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Nay.
Sam Hill?
Nay.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion passes 6 affirmative votes, 3 nay votes. This matter will be considered formally 6 years from now.
Aren't we there right now?
Aren't we there?
Don't you miss the kids? Yeah, that was still today.
Thank you, Mr. Gain, Mr. Grimm, Mr. Van Gescom. Item 3D is to consider draft resolution authorizing the execution of a reciprocal reporting agreement with the Geneva Community Unit School District 304.
Second.
Piper makes the motion and Pollack makes the second. We have with us tonight our distinguished chief of police, Mr. Steve Mixon. No need to look any further, Chief. That was you I was talking about. We have a couple questions for you, Chief. Mr. Janis, thank you, sir, for being with us.
Thank you.
And, Chief, do you have an update on the Blackhawks game?
Hawks are by
1-3.
And really the question is, why aren't you focusing? What is being discussed up here? That was a trick question. That was a trick question, Chief.
Multitask.
Mayor, he showed he was focusing.
And I noticed Din just gave the information.
All right.
You guys are not allowed to sit together anymore.
We only hire people who can multitask.
Chief Alderman Vogelsberg, I think, has the floor, then Alderman Singer.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. We talked about this already, Chief. This policy is fine, and you approve it, and I totally understand what they're doing with it. But, I never called the school board when they were doing their budget because it's hard enough to do our own budget. But now that they've opened the door and said that they want all this information, which is on the other end, I think we're all disappointed that all the way back on the other end of the spectrum, the prevention, you know, they decided to let the, they're not going to have the middle school liaison, police liaison anymore. And I thought they just didn't think about that stuff. But now that they're requesting this information, I know they do. And I just feel like you can't really measure what good all those years of having the police liaison at the middle school did. But I just think it's a shame. I know there's nothing you could do. I know we all try to keep the officer in the school. So that's all I want to say, that it's disappointing that they want the end statistics of the crimes committed, but where we need the money is in the prevention, and especially at the age of 13 and 14. So that's all. Thank you.
If I could just comment on that, I agree that it is disappointing about the decision regarding the middle school liaison position, but they're not requesting additional information from the police department. This reciprocal reporting agreement does not change how we our practices that we currently engage in at the school as far as sharing information. It doesn't create a new relationship between us and the school. And we would not be compromising the confidentiality of student records at all. It does not change this. This simply reflects the protocol that's already established in state statute with regard to allowing the police department to share certain identifiable information that's reflected in the agreement which is consistent with state statute. It simply documents the practice that we already engage in, have for many years. It's simply putting it in documentation form.
And that's an excellent clarification, since you did explain that to me 3 hours ago. But the fatigue and emotion, but you're right, that is good for everyone to know that we're already doing it. It's just a procedural thing. Thank you. Sorry about that, how fast it goes out of my memory.
Alderman Singer.
Say that one.
Yes, I read this, and there was an issue that I have some concerns, and possibly you can clarify that for me. I would suspect that if the...
Mr. Singer, can you put your microphone closer to you?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, my God, that is beautiful, isn't it?
Can
you sing a couple bars of Old Danny Boy like Mr.
Oh, God.
Isn't that beautiful?
You would take into custody anyone who has yet reached the age of 18 years of age. My understanding is if they're beyond the 18 years of age, what's the issue there?
They're considered an adult.
Adult.
And that information is then not protected under the Juvenile Court Act.
All right. Now, how are the parents informed of the violation? And I'm certain they must be. They will be.
Yes. If they commit a crime in Geneva and Geneva police are involved in it, we do contact the parents.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Whether in school or out of school.
In or out of school.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Questions for the chief? Alderman Brown.
A simple question. Do the state statutes also prescribe how this information can be exchanged, whether it's doubly secure on the internet or triply secure, which isn't even secure anymore.
Well, it states, and I did bring copies of the statutes that are referred to in the reciprocal reporting agreement. I did bring those, and I apologize for not being able to pass them out before the meeting. I'll set them back here.
Well, you were listening to the Hawks game, Chief. It's, it's completely understandable.
He was going to say it was too crowded because of all the students, but
yeah.
Could you restate your question?
What is the security level that the state requires on this? The internet is no longer secure.
No, we would not exchange information such as this over the internet. They would be able to review a copy of the report, typically, if it's a circumstance that would warrant something, exchange of information like this. We would typically allow them to review a report. More times than not, it's simply verbal.
All right. Thank you.
So when you arrested Bob Piper back in high school, was that just a verbal?
We can't talk about it.
That's been expunged.
That's good to know.
It's actually so long ago he doesn't remember.
Anyone else? Questions for the chief? We have a motion on the floor by, I believe it's Piper, second by Alderman Pollack. All in favor of item 3D, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome. And I'll place copies of the statutes
great
on this table.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good timing. If they're heading to my daughter's house, let me know by just, you know, send me a text or something. Item 3F. Consider draft ordinance amending zoning ordinance text amendment to allow exterior stairways to provide access above the ground floor for accessory senior citizen dwellings.
So move.
Second.
We have the motion by Vogelsberg, the second by Dantino. Director Unch is with us today to answer any questions with respect to what he's already presented us or any clarifications. Anything at all?
You have one? I do have one quick clarification.
Elucidating point?
Alderman Marks had asked me a question just before the meeting regarding the ability of this type of unit to be transferred independently of anybody else's awareness. There is a deed restriction that is required to be placed on the property when a unit such as this in a senior accessory unit that basically restricts that property owner from letting out the property for rent. Okay. And then likewise, the temporary permit dissolves. It's kind of not directly to the point to the request, but just a point of clarification.
Okay.
That the
yeah, because you had given a different answer before
yeah,
the
exactly,
meeting.
Exactly, I had. And I was going through my notes, and it dawned on me, geez, of course we had a deed restriction.
All right, so that's fine, thank you.
And the Plan Commission's recommendation is to allow exterior stairways for accessory units above the ground floor in the side and rear yafts, whereas right now the ordinance does not allow that.
Right, okay. Any additional questions for the director? Any reason why three of our staff members are standing in the back of the room? You guys made me look so nervous. It's like, this reminds me of being in high school again. There's the dean, the principal, the associate. We have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion offered by Vogelsberg and seconded by Dantino, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Great. Item 3G, consider draft resolution authorizing a professional services agreement with Wheland Legal Services for recording and minutes preparation for Plan Commission and Historic Preservation Commission meetings.
Move approval.
Second.
Hill makes the Hill makes the motion and Piper makes the second, and of course the vendor is with us tonight. Right? Get you to sit through all that. What do you think of that?
Didn't have to take notes.
Awesome. Alderman Pollack.
Thanks. Celeste, I think you've done a wonderful job. I have absolutely no qualms voting for this. And I'd like to applaud you because everyone else in the city is getting a 1% to 2% raise, and you're not. And I don't think that's fair, but thank you.
Well, I figure you guys are trying to make your budget, and I'm just trying to kind of to be employed.
Well, thank you.
For my services.
Thank you.
Small businesses like yours that make America go, so...
Anyone else? We have a motion by Hill, a second by Piper. All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you, Celeste. Thanks for sticking around. By the way, did you keep the minutes? Because Jean wasn't doing a darn thing up here. She was just going to...
Jean fell asleep an hour ago.
Did you see the laptop crash about halfway through the debate?
Yeah.
The panic stricken, and she just wanted to go like this for like an hour. So.
All right, Checky, move it along. Let's go.
Let's review the first four items. Item 3H, consider draft ordinance amending Chapter 3, Title 9 of the Geneva City Code regarding wastewater treatment plant pre-treatment.
So moved.
Second.
Marks makes the motion and Vogelsberg makes the second. Questions or comments from Mr. Van Gescom regarding pre-treatment? No, actually, it is for Bob. Excuse me. I was looking at the other handsome devil back there and I got all confused. Do you want to introduce?
Or Mr.
Dobbin? Okay, good.
We're just updating it via ordinance?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Dan, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone knows Dan Dobbin? Good man. Obviously in a very attractive shirt tonight. Unlike the Hawks jersey that someone's wearing.
Questions
or comments? We don't hear any. We don't see any. All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Item 3I, consider draft resolution authorizing contract award to, is it Rubino? Rubino Engineering in the amount of $25,570 for the construction of material testing services.
Move approval.
Second.
Hill makes the motion. Marks makes the second. Questions or comments? Alderman Pollack.
Thanks, Mayor. I understand that this is a new name for this organization. What was it previously known as?
City Engineer Broviak is with us. Broadway Bank, I believe it was called.
I personally have not worked with them. I believe they did the prior testing for the city. So I wanted to look here to see if Elton, who normally works with them, had put the name.
Formerly known as Professional Services, Inc., or PSI. They've done services over the years, many years.
Big time.
Okay.
Anyone else? We have a motion. We have a second. On item 3I, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Item 3J is consider draft resolution authorizing bid award to Wesco in the amount of $31,675.43 for the purchase of electrical material for the 2010-2011 cable replacement project.
So moved.
Second.
Brown makes the motion and Piper makes the second. This is, of course, to increase the cable channels we now get on Comcast. Is that right, Mike?
Bring him up to the podium.
You and Anton must somehow be related. Remember that guy from about 4 hours ago? Questions or comments from Mr. Buffington?
So that means we get HD radio on our TV now.
We get it all.
Okay, great.
We get Svengoolie on 35 channels. Jesus. Sorry. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Great. Another great presentation, Mr. Buffington. Thank you.
Well said.
Item 3K, consider draft resolution authorizing bid award to Denler Incorporated in the amount of $107,000 for the 2010-2011 pavement crack sealing and parking lot seal coating project.
So moved.
Second.
Vogelsberg makes the motion and Marks makes the second. All of you should have received an email from City Engineer Broviak early in the day with details regarding the crack sealing project. City Engineer Broviak, please join us at the podium. Questions or comments for Pam?
What did the email say since I wasn't able to look at it?
Oh, okay.
At the added streets.
Yeah, it was. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Pam.
All right. Well, the email explained why we were asking to go up to the budgeted amount. When we calculate the amount of material that we believe will go on the roads, it's very difficult to get an exact amount. It's not a length times a width. You're going off past practices and past experience and trying to estimate to our best judgment how many tons of crack sealing material will be placed on a road. But this is highly dependent on the cracks in the curb, along the pavement, And so really what happens is as we go through the project, we have a better idea towards, as we get towards the end of the material that we thought we'd be using, if we actually can make it through all the roadways. And in the email, I explained if we have 10 roads picked and we estimate it would take 100 tons, as we start proceeding through the project, we may get 8 roads done, and we have used the entire 100 tons. So as we get towards the end of the material, we start looking a little more closely and letting the contractor know, well, you can't make all the roads, obviously, so don't even try, or looks like we're going to have plenty of material, so not only do all the 10 roads, but here's two other ones that we think that you'll be able to get through. So if we're limited to the bid amount, we don't have that flexibility at the end to try to use up to what the budget amount is.
Thank you.
Any other questions for city engineer? It should be noted that the city engineer has sat here now for close to 3 hours, and tonight her son Tommy, who we all met, mm-hmm. is celebrating his 15th birthday. So we want to wish Tommy a happy birthday. And what did Mom get him? I'm just kidding. Did you already give it to him?
Well, mainly just wanted a huge cake.
Where is it?
Is he still waiting for it?
No, so we had that before I came.
You don't have to buy it at Jewel still or something like that, do you? Or Dominic's? Don't Jewel at St. Charles. Forget that.
Aldi.
Aldi.
Good cakes. At Aldi.
Happy birthday to Tommy. So, anything else for Pam? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Item 3L, consider draft resolution authorizing amendment to a local agency agreement between the City of Geneva and IDOT for FAU 1395 Caneville Road Project.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Marks, seconded by Piper. Questions or comments for, is this the engineer again?
Mm-hmm.
Tommy is now 19 years old.
He's left for college.
He's disappointed his mother abandoned him. Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Bill Cracks.
Pam, what's the acronym ARRA?
Oh, that's the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act.
Okay. Now, you're indicating here that if there is a surplus of funds for the project, that it would be projected towards some other city streets. I didn't know that we would be able to use those fundings for other city streets.
What happened was everyone realized that the bid came in less than what we had originally indicated and what we originally approved in an agreement, and that's why they're amending that original agreement to better reflect what the actual bid was. And they did approve us to take that excess amount,
mm-hmm.
I believe it's approximately $300,000, and apply it to only another FAU route, and that's why we chose Anderson. That was
okay.
Only because that was the next road on the list anyway.
I see.
And we've been working on the plans. We just sent in a second revision today to IDOT, and if everything goes well and it's approved, it could be let in July using those additional funds.
Would you have to put that project out for bid again, or would this company retain the continuation of that streetscape?
We will have to put it out to bid, and in fact, with these projects, IDOT actually is the entity placing the project out to bid.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else? As Tommy ages gracefully.
At least he could watch me on TV.
That's true, unless he's changed the channel.
That's what he's doing on his 15th birthday. Yeah.
I'm going to have him hang out with Vogelsberg's kids for a while.
Unless he's watching the Hawks.
He's watching online.
All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Item 3M. Consider draft resolution authorizing contract with Clark Environmental Mosquito Management in an amount not to exceed $94,220 for the 2010 Mosquito Management Program.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Alderman Brown. Questions or comments for Mr. Dinges? No, nothing? Who said that? Thanks, Bob. I seek your approval every Monday night. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Item 3N, as in Nancy, consider draft ordinance amending Title IV, Chapter 2, the liquor license class and fee, to allow for one additional B3 license.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Brown, seconded by Marks. Just for everyone's benefit, this matter will be considered at our special City Council meeting immediately following this committee meeting. We'll take an hour break, and we'll reconvene.
Can we have a sports-loving mayor?
This is my sport.
I know. I want somebody who wants to go home and watch a different one.
Oh, yeah? Well, any questions or comments regarding what this issue is? We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? 3-0. Consider draft resolution adopting amendments to the city's personnel policy manual regarding Section 2.1, discrimination, and Section 4.8, overtime compensatory time. Oh, forgive me. It's in the action form. Also, Section 6.14. So, forgive me.
So moved.
Second.
Right. You want to clarify that, Stephanie, for everyone's benefit?
Section 2.1, 4.8, and 6.14.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Vogelsberg, seconded by Marks. The action memo states that additional item that was left off the agenda. So, questions, comments? Hearing none, seeing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Item 3P, consider approval of fourth quarter 2009-2010 department goals and objectives.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion. Alderman Hill makes the second. Questions or comments? Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Runch, how are we doing on Goal 6 to assist the Community Development Director in establishing the Citizen-Based Housing Commission?
Mm-hmm. Carried over. This is a goal that is also in our goals and objectives for FY 10-11. We've done some additional research on some of the duties and responsibilities of that commission should it be formed. Several residents have expressed interest in serving on that commission, and it's necessary to solicit publicly individual citizens that would be interested in serving, and that's the next step in the process.
All right, very good. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. In fact, Alderman Singer, I've received several inquiries from folks that I forwarded to Dick as well, and Dick has received inquiries that we've been actually talking about it. So
I have also received someone.
Oh, good. Yeah, definitely forward them to Mr. Unch.
I have.
That'd be great. Okay, good.
Thank you.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor of item 3P, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? New business. Anyone in the audience who is either still awake, physically, spiritually, or otherwise? Any new business? Zach, anything? Joe? I just want to continue on talking all night because I'm offended by the remarks made earlier. Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn if there's no new business by the committee.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Marks. All in favor, say aye.
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 Great. I guess it is. Charlie McCarthy doll. Well, yeah, Melodger is apparently ordering a pizza or something.
God bless.
We do have a quorum, however. We're going to call this city council meeting to order. We'll reflect when Mr. Melodger chooses to join us yet again. Let the record show that all the council members are present, save for, at the moment, Alderman Melodger.
And Alderman Flanagan.
This meeting is called to order. This is a special city council meeting to consider one matter, and that matter is item one, consider ordinance number 2010-20, amending Title 4, Chapter 2, to allow for one additional Class B3 liquor license in the city of Geneva.
Second.
Motion by Melodger, seconded by Alderman. Jesus.
Oh, got him on the brain now.
Alderman Dantino, forgive me. Seconded by Alderman Piper.
That's true.
Let the record show that Alderman Melodger has joined us at 10:01.
Time for the crucial
questions or comments regarding this matter.
Who's it for?
Pardon me? This is actually for CPK, California Pizza Kitchen. They're actually amending their license from a B1 to a B3 to reflect really the inside of their restaurant. So it's just a housekeeping measure, more or less. They actually have a bar in there. So they're going to the B3 instead of the B1 to accommodate those.
B3 has a bar.
Yeah.
So they can presently serve alcohol.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They've always been able to serve as a B1. But you couldn't just go in and, you know, grab a beer and sit at the bar.
Somehow this group missed the fact that they had a bar.
Don't be too sure.
Yeah. Smart move, Mark.
I thought the Waffle House was coming to town.
Right.
Any questions or additional questions or comments? We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor? Actually, do you want to? Yeah, roll call vote. Madam Recording Secretary.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Craig Melodra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ray Pollack.
Cheers. Or aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Tom Vogelsberg.
Aye.
I'll entertain a motion to waive the fees.
So moved.
Motion by Brown, I believe it was, seconded by Alderman Singer.
Yes.
Questions or comments? It wasn't Singer, was it?
No, you weren't even close.
Madam Recording Secretary?
Looks like Singer. Piper.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Melodra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Any new business by anyone? No, Mr. Piper, nothing?
No, just it's the second special city council meeting we've had, and we didn't say the pledge. Way to go, Mussolini. All right.
Wasn't on the agenda.
Wasn't, yeah.
I think it'd be appropriate if we just went and did it now anyways.
There you go. Move to adjourn.
Move to call. Move to say the pledge.
There was a motion to adjourn by Piper, seconded by...
Move to say the pledge. Move to say the pledge.
Seconded by Hill. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
We'll do the pledge twice next week.
No, Piper will do the pledge twice next week.
This is why I'm against conceal and carry, because of you.
8-foot extension, and that turned